Testing in the House Chamber, Legislative Day 38.
The House will come to order. Members will take their seats. Visitors will retire from the chamber. The Sergeant Arms will close the doors. Members and guests.
Please silence all electronic devices.
Today's prayer will be offered by Representative Adcock. We'd ask members and visitors in the gallery to please stand for the prayer and to remain standing for the Pledge of Allegiance. Representative Adcock.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Let us pray. Lord, make us instruments of your peace. Where there is hatred, let us sow love. Where there is injury, pardon. Where there is discord, union. Where there is doubt, faith. Where there is despair, hope. Where there is darkness, light. Where there is sadness, joy. Grant that we not so much seek to be consoled as to console, to be understood as to understand, to be loved as to love. For it is in giving that we receive. It is in pardoning that we are pardoned. And it is in dying that we are born to eternal life. Amen.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America, and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Gentleman from Harnett, Representative Lewis, is recognized for a motion.
Mr. Speaker, the journal for April 2nd has been examined and found to be correct. I move that it be approved as written.
Hey, can I do a personal privilege before we recess?
Representative Lewis moves the journal for April 2nd be approved as written. Those in favor will say aye.
Aye.
Those opposed, no. The ayes have it. The journal is approved as written. Members, please join me in welcoming with us first our doctor of the day, Dr. Freeman Jackson from Charlotte. Also joined by Nina Williams, our nurse of the day from Wilmington. Thanks for being with us. Members, the order of business for this afternoon is going to be the following. First, the next thing I'm going to do, and I ask the pages to go ahead and come forward. We're going to introduce the pages. Then the chair is going to do a number of special recognitions in the gallery and otherwise. Then the House is going to go into recess for roughly a half hour at that point. The majority party is going to caucus. I guess the minority party may as well. I don't know, but and then looking at about a half hour recess or standing at ease at that point. We may dispose of one bill, and there's a concurrence vote that I think the chair intends that we may take up prior to the recess, but we will then otherwise be taking a recess at that point. Members, please, if you would give your attention to the chair. We have our pages with us this week. These young men and women have been here since Monday of this week working. This is the formal introduction since we have members here. So to pages, whenever the clerk calls your name, I would ask that you step forward and so that members will know who you are. Just a moment. House will come to order. While the pages are introduced, the clerk will introduce the pages.
Megan Bagwell, Wake County, Representative Terrence Everett. Driana Dry, Cabarrus County, Representative Larry Pittman, sponsor. Zoe Egan, Cleveland County, Representative John Autry, sponsor. Allison Gilbert, Chatham County, Representative Robert Reeves, sponsor. Sarah Hammond, Wake County, Representative Allison Dahl, sponsor. Amy Hero, Franklin County, Representative Lisa Barnes, sponsor. Tucker Leandro, McDowell County, Representative Josh Dobson, sponsor. Madison Vasilko, Franklin County, Representative Allison Dahl, sponsor.
Members, I would ask you to join me in welcoming our pages here with us this week. Pages may return to your post. Gentleman from Cumberland, Representative Lucas, is recognized to speak to a point of personal privilege.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Ladies and gentlemen of the House, exactly 10 years ago, one of our revered legislators departed this mortality. But the story doesn't end there. We had a miraculous reincarnation led by then Representative Dr. Bob England and several House members. The story got better and better. We changed her birthday. This is now her 10th birthday. Initially, we very seldom celebrated her birthday because it was always in December. But thank goodness, it's been changed now that she has a new birthday, and we get the opportunity to celebrate that birthday, and she's joined by several celebrities who share that birthday. Doris Day is sharing. Jane Goodall is sharing. Tony Orlando is sharing. Alec Baldwin is sharing. Melody Hobson is sharing. Even Eddie Murphy is sharing. And there are many, many others. This being the 10th birthday, and if biblical experience is a predictor, there will be 70 more. Congratulations and happy birthday to Becky Carney.
For what purpose does the gentleman from Lee, Representative Sauls, rise?
To speak on whatever it was we were speaking on.
Point of personal privilege.
Yeah.
The gentleman's recognized to speak to a point of personal privilege.
I was trying to think of what I was going to say, but I wanted to tell the freshman here that back then, not the actual year Becky had her heart attack, but Representative Carney was a freshman, and Representative Lewis and Speaker Moore and myself's class, and we were told that freshmen always did something for the General Assembly. And what happened was Dr. Bob England came to both the freshman caucuses and wanted to get a defibrillator. So our freshman class gave the money to buy the defibrillator here for the General Assembly. I was sitting at home one night watching the local news after I had not run again and was focusing on my ministry. And I see where this representative had had a heart attack and just fell over at her desk and found out during this news story that Dr. Bob England, who was a freshman with Representative Carney and myself, they got the defibrillator that the freshman class bought, and the freshman doctor saved the freshman representative. So you freshmen got a big act to follow. Thank you, Mr. Speaker.
For what purpose does the gentleman from Harnett, Representative Lewis, rise?
Point of personal privilege.
The gentleman's recognized to speak to a point of personal privilege.
Mr. Speaker, you've heard some words today to honor a great member of the House who we've had the chance to serve with on her birthday. And we've all heard, those of us that have it, about the traumatic experience that she went through to continue to serve. But I wanted to rise today because part of what causes situations like what Representative Carney went through has to do with stress and other factors. To that end, and in recognition of stress, I'd like to point out that Speaker Moore's Chief of Staff, Bart Goodson, had a birthday yesterday, and I'd appreciate if you would join me in wishing him a happy birthday as well.
Representative Lewis, you should know he says he has the least stressful job in the building. Okay. For what purpose, the gentleman from Craven, Representative Speciale, rise?
A point of personal privilege.
The gentleman's recognized to speak to a point of personal privilege.
As we acknowledge birthdays for great people, there's a member on the staff here who happens to be my legislative aide, whose birthday is today, and she's under 29. That much I know, and. But she's my wife of 45 years, which will, our anniversary will be Saturday since we won't be here. I just want everybody to know she's a wonderful lady. She's my legislative aide. She's my wife of 45 years, and I wouldn't want to go a day without her. Happy birthday.
Members, the chair is going to do some recognitions for just a moment, and then we'll open it back up. First off, we have a former member of the House with us today, former Representative Jimmy Ford of Wayne County, who's here today. Representative Ford, where are you? We want to welcome you in the gallery. Back here to the right. We'll have you, sir. Also on motion of the member from Brunswick's, members of representing Brunswick, Representatives Eiler and Butler, the chair is happy to extend the courtesies of the gallery to President Gene Smith of Brunswick Community College, joined by also with trustees and staff members. Would y'all please stand so we could welcome you? Over here to the left. Thank you. On motion of Representative Humphrey of Lenoir County, the chair is happy to extend the courtesies of the gallery to the chairwoman of the Lenoir County Board of Commissioners, Linda Ralph Sutton. Ms. Sutton, where are you? Over here on the left. Good to have you with us, ma'am. On motion of the member from Sampson County, Representative Smith, the chair is happy to extend the courtesies of the gallery to Mr. Jared James, who is here this week shadowing Representative Smith. Jared is a graduate of UNC Chapel Hill and a former football player and coach. Where are you at, sir? I want to welcome you over here on the right. And this goes to the comments made about Representative Carney. The chair is happy to extend the courtesies of the gallery to Willie Morris from the North Carolina General Assembly Police, Mark Fleming with Blue Cross Blue Shield, Christine Craig, and Marion Uwe of Wake Med, along with Lanier Hodgson of UNC Health, who were all critical to Representative Becky Carney in April of 2009 when she collapsed in her legislative office and went into cardiac arrest. Please join, would y'all please stand so we could thank you all and recognize you. Please join me in thanking them. On motion of the chair and Representative Hastings, the chair is happy to extend the courtesies of the gallery to President Hurst of the Cleveland Community College, as well as members of the Board of Trustees up there and former Senator Wes Westmoreland, who's there as well. Thank you all for being with us today. On motion of the gentleman from Harnett, Representative Lewis, the chair is happy to extend the courtesies of the gallery to nursing students of Central Carolina Community College who are with us. I believe over here, to the right. Thank you for being with us today as well. On motion of the gentleman from Mecklenburg, Representative Autry, the chair is happy to extend the courtesies of the gallery to Gabrielle Hubert, who is with us today. Ms. Hubert, where are you? Back here in the back. Good to have you with us today. On motion of the gentleman from Harnett, Representative Lewis, and Representative Brisson of Bladen, the chair is happy to extend the courtesies of the gallery to students who are here from Bladen Community College. If y'all would please stand when your name's called. Adriana Quiroz, Essence McKinney, James Little, Jabari Tatum, Erica Sykes, Nashika Kelly, and Crystal Dowd, who is the student government advisor. Thank you for being with us today over here on the left. On motion of the gentleman from Beaufort County, Representative Kidwell, the chair is happy to extend the courtesies of the gallery to Dr. Robert Caton, chairman of the Board of Trustees for the Beaufort County Community College, joined also by the president, David Loop, Board of Trustees members, Wally Salim and Mitchell St. Clair. Would y'all please stand so we could welcome you right here in the back. Thank you. On On motion of Representative Adcock of Wake County, Representative Cunningham of Mecklenburg, and Representative White of Johnston County, the chair is happy to extend the courtesies of the gallery to 1,100 nurses attending the Nurses Association Biennial Nurses Day at the legislature. I don't think all 1,100 are up there, but I think there's a few. So those of the 1,100 who are here, please stand so we could welcome you as well. Thanks. On motion of the gentleman from Robinson, Representative Graham, the chair is happy to extend the courtesies of the gallery to a group of students from UNC Pembroke, joined by their staff. Would y'all please stand so we could welcome you? Back here. On motion of the members of Union County, Representatives Horn and Brody, the chair is happy to extend the courtesies of the gallery to Dr. Maria Farr of South Piedmont Community College. Would you please stand so we could welcome you as well? Here to the left. Thank you. On motion of the gentleman from Alamance County, Representatives Riddell and Ross, the chair is happy to extend the courtesies of the gallery to Dr. Algie Gatewood and members of the boards of trustees of Alamance Community College. Would y'all please stand so we could welcome you? Back here in the back. On motion of the lady from Yancey County, Representative Presnell, the chair is happy to extend the courtesies of the gallery to trustees here from Malin Community College. Would y'all please stand so we could welcome you? Right here on the left. Thank you. On motion of the members of Gaston County, Representatives Hastings, Bumgarner, and Torbett, the chair is happy to extend the courtesies of the gallery to the to Gaston Community College President, Dr. Pat Skinner, along with trustees from the community college, Gaston Community College, and Sheriff Alan Kleiniger, who's with them today. Would y'all please stand so we could welcome you back here in the back. And the chair will remind members that handwriting is always helpful when handing these notes up to the chair. On motion of the gentleman from Davidson, Representative Potts, and on behalf of the chair is happy to recognize Dr. Darren Hartness, who is president of Davidson County Community College, also joined by boards of trustees members Beth Parrott, State Community College, and trustee Burr Sullivan, and several students who are there as well. Would y'all please stand so we could welcome you? Thanks. And also Representative Jarvis was a part of that motion. It was Representatives Potts and Jarvis. The chair apologizes. On behalf of the entire Cumberland County delegation, I believe that'd be Representatives Richardson, Floyd, Lucas, and Soka. I don't think I missed anybody. The chair is happy to welcome a delegation here from the Fayetteville Technical Community College, including President Larry Keene and members of the boards of trustees. Would y'all please stand so we could welcome you back here in the back as well. And just in case we didn't recognize anyone specifically, the chair is happy to extend the courtesies of the gallery to members here from the State Board of Community Colleges, along with the Community College Boards of Trustees from around the state, the presidents, and students. If you weren't recognized earlier, please stand so we can recognize and thank you as well for being here. And on motion of the members from Iredell County, Representatives Turner and Fraley, the chair is happy to extend the courtesies of the gallery to Dr. Tim Brower, president of Mitchell Community College, and David Meacham, who's on the board of trustees. Would y'all please stand so we can welcome you? On motion of Representatives White and Strickland of Johnston County, the chair is happy to extend the courtesies of the gallery to Dr. David Johnson and students who are Dylan Anderson who and members of the Board of Trustees, Johnson Community College. Please join me in welcoming them as well. And on motion of the gentleman from Caldwell, Representative Hall, the chair is happy to extend the courtesies of the gallery to the Caldwell Community College president and members of their board of trustees. Would y'all please stand as well? And on motion of Representative Jones of Columbus County, the chair is happy to extend the courtesies of the gallery to Dr. Tony Clark of Southeastern Community College, president. Would you please stand so we could welcome you as well? For our purpose, gentleman from Mecklenburg, Representative Autry, rise.
For a point of personal privilege.
Gentleman's recognized to speak to a point of personal privilege.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Ladies and gentlemen, it's rare when you find a young person passionate about issues and can back that up with scholarship, ingenuity, and intelligence. I am pleased to share with you and congratulate our intern, who works in mine and Representative Belk's office, Gabrielle Hubert. Gabby, as she likes to be called, will travel to Myanmar this summer to work with the Asian Foundation. It was a hard choice in that Gabby was awarded three fellowships for this project. Yes, three. The Birch, Class of 1938, and the Global Engagement Fellowship. She has selected the Birch Award. Gabby will study how women are impacted by developmental programs. And if that wasn't enough, this past Friday, Gabby sat on the Politics, Media, and Community Action panel at the CRDM Symposium at NC State. There she expertly, I might add, provided information on LGBT issues. We are proud and pleased that she will represent North Carolina abroad. And I am doubly pleased that she chose our office to learn about the legislative process as our intern. Thank you, Mr. Speaker.
Members, we're going to dispose of the first bill on the calendar, and then we are going to, I'm going to put the House in ease. House Bill 263, the clerk will read.
Representative Lewis, House Bill 263, a bill to be entitled an act to appoint persons to various public offices upon recommendation of the Speaker of the House of Representatives and to make modifications to appointments made in 2018. Jones Chamber of North Carolina enacts.
The clerk will also read the Senate amendment.
Senator Heitz moves to amend the bill on page 1, line 25, by deleting SL 2018-111 and submitting SL 2018-139.
Gentleman from Harnett, Representative Lewis, recognized for motion.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Mr. Speaker, I move that the House do concur in Senate Amendment number 1.
Representative Lewis has moved that the House do concur to Senate Amendment 1 to House Bill 263. Further discussion, further debate? If not, the question for the House is the motion to concur with Senate Amendment 1 to House Bill 263. Those in favor will vote aye. Those opposed will vote no. The clerk will open the vote. Representative Goodwin, Representative Ensco, Representative Cunningham, Representative Farmer Butterfield, Representative Humphrey, Representative Bowles, do these members wish to record on this bill? The clerk will lock the machine and record the vote. 111 have voted in the affirmative, none in the negative. The motion is adopted and the House does concur. The bill is ordered and rolled. Matter of fact, let's go ahead and dispose of the three local bills there. Is there objection to those three bills being grouped together, House Bills 170, 171, and 285? Is there objection? Hearing none, the chair directs they be grouped. Clerk will read.
Representatives McNeil and Hurley, House Bill 170, a bill to be entitled an act removing the cap on satellite annexation for the city of Asheboro. Representatives Warren, Pittman, and Howard, House Bill 171, a bill to be entitled an act removing the cap on satellite annexation for the town of China Grove. Representative Sauls, House Bill 285, a bill to be entitled an act to remove certain restrictions of satellite annexation from the city of Sanford. General Assembly of North Carolina enacts.
Representative House Bills 170, 171, and 285 are before the House. Further discussion, further debate on the block vote. If not, the question before the House is the passage on second reading of House Bills 170, 171, and 285. Those in favor will vote aye. Those opposed will vote no. The clerk will open the vote. Representative Insko on the floor, Representative Bowles. The clerk will lock the machine and record the vote. 109 having voted in the affirmative, 1 in the negative. House Bills 170, 171, and 285 pass their second reading and remain on the calendar. Members, the chair is about to put the House in ease. I understand Representative Bell has an announcement. Chair's gentleman's recognized.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Republicans will caucus in 1228 as soon as recess. Thank you.
And before we do that, on motion of the members of Macon, Representative Corbin of Macon County, Representative Queen of Jackson County, the chair is happy to extend the courtesies of the gallery to the folks here from Southwestern Community College, trustees, as well as President Don Thomas, who probably win the Long Drive Award of the day. Where are y'all so we could welcome y'all as well? Over here on the right. Thank you. For what purpose does the gentleman from Wake, Representative Jackson, rise?
For an announcement.
Gentleman has floor for an announcement.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. House Democrats, we're not going to caucus during this recess. Our caucus room, normal caucus room, is having a blood drive. You can take advantage of that if you want to, but we're not going to caucus at this time.
Members, we are House Chair's about to put the House at ease. While we are in ease under our rules, the clerk or someone the chair designates as acting chair can dispose of administrative business, which would include at this point committee reports and introductions of new bills. The chair does believe, though, that we should be able to resume active business within a half hour. So I would encourage members, it's 2:35, to plan to be back in their seats no later than 3:05 to resume business of the House. With that, we're going to stand at ease but continue administrative business.
Call each chair out, and as they are recognized as Central Transportation Committee, but you could also just say committee for clerk will read and he'll just charge for all of them. Does everyone want?
Committee report. Representative Torbett, Representative Aller, Representative Presnell, Representative Shepherd are recognized to send forth the Transportation Committee report. Clerk will read.
Representatives Torbett, Aller, Presnell, and Shepherd. Transportation Committee report. House Bill 449, special registration plates, favorable committee substitute, unfavorable original bill, and referred to finance.
Original bill, unfavorable calendar, committee substitute, favorable, referred to finance. Members, I know we're in recess, but we are trying to read in. If we can hold it down a little bit or take conversation outside, it would be helpful. I can hardly hear the clerk standing here next to me. Aging Committee report. Representative Hurley is recognized to send forth the report. Clerk will read.
Representative Hurley, Aging Committee report. House Bill 410, required generators, nursing, and adult care homes. Favorable committee substitute, unfavorable original bill, and we refer it to rules, calendar, and operations of the House.
Original bill, unfavorable calendar, committee substitute, favorable calendar, we refer to rules, calendar, and operations of the House. Sorry. Representatives Howard, Setzer, Zoka, Conrad, Ross, Warren are recognized to send forth Finance Committee report. Clerk will read.
Representatives Howard, Setzer, Zoka, Conrad, Ross, and Warren, Finance Committee report. House Bill 201, Register of Deeds, Tax Certification Expansion, favorable and referred to Rules, Calendar, and Operations of the House.
It's referred to Rules, Calendar, and Operations of the House.
House Bill 250, Department of Health and Human Services, Revision, AB, favorable and referred to Rules, Calendar, and Operations of the House.
It's referred to Rules, Calendar, and Operations of the House.
House Bill 195, Board of Nursing Technical Changes, AB, favorable, committee substitute number 3, unfavorable, committee substitute number 2, and we refer to Rules, Calendar, and Operations of the House.
Committee substitute number 2, unfavorable calendar. Committee substitute number 3, favorable calendar, and we refer to Rules, Calendar, and Operations of the House. Representatives Bowles and McGrady are recognized to send forth an Alcoholic Beverage Control Committee report. Clerk will read.
Representatives Bowles and McGrady, Alcohol Beverage Control Committee report. House Bill 363, Craft Beer Distribution Modernization Act, favorable committee substitute, unfavorable mention of the bill, and referred to Rules, Calendar, and Operations of the House.
The original bill, unfavorable calendar. Committee substitute, favorable calendar, and referred to Rules, Calendar, and Operations of the House. Representatives Elmore, Horn, and Johnson are recognized to send forth Education K-12 Committee report. Clerk will read.
Representatives Elmore, Horn, and Johnson, Education K-12 Committee report. House Bill 411, Modify School Qualifications for Students, a Success Indicator. Committee, favorable committee substitute, unfavorable original bill, and refer to Rules, Calendar, and Operations of the House.
Original bill, unfavorable calendar. Committee substitute, re-referred as favorable and re-referred to Rules, Calendar, and Operations of the House.
House Bill 433, Economics and Financial Literacy Act, favorable committee substitute, unfavorable original bill, and re-referred to Appropriations Education.
Original bill, unfavorable calendar. Committee substitute, favorable and referred to Appropriations Education.
House Bill 434, Suicide Risk Reference Mental Health Teen Violence, favorable committee substitute, unfavorable original bill, and referred to Health.
Original bill, unfavorable calendar. Committee substitute, favorable calendar, and referred to Committee on Health. Representative Ross is recognized to send forth Commerce Committee report.
Representative Ross, Commerce Committee report. House Bill 193, Greensboro Small Business Enterprise, favorable and referred to Rules, Calendar, and Operations of the House.
Favorable, referred to Rules, Calendar, and Operations of the House.
House Bill 352, Funding for Small Business Loans, favorable and referred to Appropriations, Agriculture, and National and Economic Resources.
Bills on the favorable calendar and referred to Appropriations, Agriculture, and Natural Resources.
House Bill 418, Create NC Golf Council, favorable and referred to Appropriations, Capital.
Favorable calendar, referred to Appropriations Capital.
House Bill 399, Disaster Area Building Rehabilitation Tax Credit Bonus, favorable and referred to Finance.
Original bill, unfavorable calendar. Committee substitute, favorable and referred to Finance. Representatives Davis and Stevens are recognized to send forth the Judiciary Committee report. The clerk will read.
Representative Davis and Stevens, Judiciary Committee report. House Bill 233, State Auditor, Various Amendments, AB, favorable and referred to Rules, Calendar, and Operations of the House.
Bill's favorable calendar, re-referred to Rules, Calendar, and Operations of the House.
House Bill 332, to increase jury duty rate of pay, favorable and re-referred to Finance.
Original bill favorable, sealed referral to Finance.
House Bill 426, Additional Superior Court Judge, District 18B, favorable and re-referred to Appropriations, Justice, and Public Safety.
Bill to the favorable calendar, referred to Appropriations, Justice, and Public Safety.
House Bill 469, Amend Equitable Distribution Law, favorable and re-referred to Rules, Calendar, and Operations of the House.
Original bill favorable, referred to Rules, Calendar, and Operations of the House.
House Bill 470, Amend Parenting Coordinator Laws, Family Law, favorable and referred to Rules, Calendar, and Operations of the House.
Original bill favorable calendar, referred to Rules, Calendar, and Operations of the House. Representatives Corbin and Warren are recognized to send forth State and Local Government Committee report. The clerk will read.
Representatives Corbin and Warren, State and Local Government Committee report. House Bill 256, adopt official fried chicken festival, favorable and re-referred to rules, calendar, and operations of the House.
Favorable calendar, referred to rules, calendar, and operations of the House.
House Bill 280, modify rights, privileges, immunities, Lumbee Tribe, favorable and re-referred to rules, calendar, and operations of the House.
Favorable calendar, referred to rules, calendar, and operations of the House.
House Bill 324, Cleveland County Hunting Omnibus, favorable and re-referred to wildlife resources.
Bill to favorable calendar, referred to wildlife resources.
House Bill 392, Village of Clemens, deannexation, favorable and re-referred to finance.
Bill's favorable calendar, referred to finance.
House Bill 394, official state cookie and chip, favorable and re-referred to rules, calendar, and operations of the House.
Bill's reported favorable, referred to rules, calendar, and operations of the House. State and local government, Representatives Corbin and Warren are recognized to send forth a report. The clerk will read.
Representatives Corbin and Warren, State and Local Government Committee report. House Bill 237, Brunswick County zoning procedure changes. Favorable committee substitute. Unfavorable original bill and re-referred to rules, calendar, and operations of the House.
Original bill, unfavorable calendar. Committee substitute, favorable and referred to rules, calendar, and operations of the House.
House Bill 239, Pitt County animal control records. Favorable committee substitute. Unfavorable original bill and re-referred to rules, calendar, and operations of the House.
Original bill, unfavorable calendar. Committee substitute, favorable calendar and referred to rules, calendar, and operations of the House.
House Bill 316, meals tax for Rockingham Speedway. Favorable committee substitute. Unfavorable original bill and re-referred to finance. Well, it's got
original bill, unfavorable calendar. Committee substitute. Re-referred to committee, favorable to committee substitute, serial referral to finance. Representative Insko. Representative Insko, do you seek recognition? Thank you. Representatives Davis and Stevens are recognized to send forth a Judiciary Committee report. Clerk will read.
Representative Davis and Stevens, Judiciary Committee report. House Bill 415, photos of juveniles shown ups. Favorable committee substitute, unfavorable original bill, and referred to rules, calendar, and operations of the House.
Original bill, unfavorable calendar. Committee substitute, re-referred to rules, calendar, and operations of the House.
House Bill 425, increase and expand assault on the resist of LEO. Favorable committee substitute, unfavorable original bill, and re-referred to rules, calendar, and operations of the House.
Original bill, unfavorable. Committee substitute, favorable, and re-referred to rules, calendar, and operations of the House.
House Bill 228, modernized law pertaining to NC Medical Board, AB. Favorable, committee substitute number 2. Unfavorable, committee substitute number 1, and re-referred to finance.
Committee substitute number 1, unfavorable calendar. Committee substitute number 2, favorable calendar, and referred to committee on finance.
Go ahead and do it because the heater came up. Yeah, Rich, can you turn your mic up?
Introductions of bills and resolutions. The clerk will read.
Representatives Brockman, Fisher, Harrison, and Holly. House Bill 533, Retail Workers Bill of Rights.
Rules, calendar, and operations of the House.
Representatives Sasser, Murphy, Lewis, and Bell. House Bill 534, NC Pharmacy Benefit Manager Licensure Act.
Insurance, if favorable, finance. If favorable, rules, calendar, and operations of the House.
Representatives Horn, Dobson, and Murphy, House Bill 535, Reach Out and Read Carolina's Funds.
Health, if favorable. Appropriations, Health and Human Services, if favorable. Rules, Calendar, and Operations of the House.
Representatives McGrady, Bowles, Fisher, and Hardister, House Bill 536, ABC Omnibus Regulatory Reform.
The Alcoholic Beverage Control Committee, if favorable. Finance, if favorable. Rules, Calendar, and Operations of the House.
Representatives Conrad, Howard, Setzer, and Destin Hall, House Bill 537, Alternate Highway Use Tax Vehicle Subscription.
Transportation, if favorable. Finance, if favorable. Rules, Calendars, and Operations of the House.
Representatives Howard, Setzer, and Zoka, House Bill 538, Facilitate Response to Disasters.
Finance, if favorable. Rules, Calendar, and Operations of the House.
Representatives Murphy, Dobson, Lambert, and Adcock, House Bill 359, Temporary Financial Assistance, State, County, and Special Assistance Facilities.
Health, if favorable. Appropriations, Health and Human Services, if favorable. Rules, Calendar, and Operations of the House.
Representatives Murphy, Horn, Grange, and Dobson, House Bill 540, Drug Trafficking, Judicial Discretion of Study.
Judiciary, if favorable. Rules, Calendar, and Operations of the House.
Representatives Dixon and Bell, House Bill 541, Change Exclusion for Solar Energy Systems.
Energy and Public Utilities, if favorable. Finance, if favorable. Rules, Calendar, and Operations of the House.
Representatives Dixon and Bell, House Bill 542, Include Solar Property as Non-System Property.
Energy and Public Utilities, if favorable. Finance, if favorable. Rules, Calendar, and Operations of the House.
Representatives Dixon and Bell, House Bill 543, Utilities, Amend Renewable Energy and Energy Efficiency Portfolio Standards and Requirements.
Energy and Public Utilities, if favorable. Rules, Calendar, and Operations of the House.
Representatives Potts, Jarvis, Corbin, and Yarborough, House Bill 544, NC Association of Municipal Clerks, NC Association of County Clerks, Special Registration Plate.
Transportation, if favorable. Finance, if favorable. Rules, Calendar, and Operations of the House.
Representatives Butler, Harrison, Martin, and Russell, House Bill 545, Protect the Military, Fisheries, Tourism.
Rules, Calendar, and Operations of the House.
Representatives Fairclough, Rena Turner, Cleveland, and McNeil, House Bill 546, Prohibit Counterfeit Non-Fictional Airbags.
Judiciary, if favorable. Rules, Calendar, and Operations of the House.
Representatives Fairclough and Hardister, House Bill 547, Oak Ridge Park Security System Funds.
State and local government, if favorable. Appropriations, general government, if favorable. Rules, Calendar, and Operations of the House.
Representatives Grange, Torbett, White, and Dobson, House Bill 548, Modify Physical Therapy Definition.
Health, if favorable. Insurance, if favorable. Rules, Calendar, and Operations of the House.
Representatives Beasley and Hardister, House Bill 549, Matching Funds for Affordable Housing.
Appropriations, Agriculture, and Natural and Economic Resources, if favorable. Rules, Calendar, and Operations of the House.
Representatives Grange, Potts, and Zoka, House Resolution 550, urge congressional support of the VA Missions Act.
Homeland Security, Military, and Veterans Affairs, if favorable. Rules, Calendar, and Operations of the House.
Representatives Dahl, Beasley, and Hawkins, House Bill 551, require paid work rates.
Rules, Calendar, and Operations of the House.
Representatives Hardister, Sane, Horn, and Beasley, House Bill 552, After School Robotics Grants Athletics.
Education K-12, if favorable. Appropriations Education, if favorable. Rules, Calendar, and Operations of the House.
Representatives Strickland, Barnes, Corbin, and Hardister, House Bill 553, licensing certain fire safety equipment workers.
Insurance, if favorable. Finance, if favorable. Rules, Calendar, and Operations of the House.
Representatives Bowles, Alexander, Hunter, and Jones, House Bill 554, funeral practice licensure technical corrections.
Regulatory reform, if favorable. Rules, Calendar, and Operations of the House.
Representatives Dobson, White, Sane, and Lambert, House Bill 555, modernize Medicaid telemedicine policies.
Health, if favorable. Rules, Calendar, and Operations of the House.
Representatives Dobson, Horn, Rena Turner, and Clemens, House Bill 556, food banks, funds.
Appropriations, Health and Human Services, if favorable. Rules, Calendar, and Operations of the House.
Representatives Ross and Adcock, House Bill 557, Municipal Omnibus Bill.
State and local government, if favorable, finance, if favorable, rules, calendar, and operations of the House.
Representatives Zachary and Davis, House Bill 558, amend stalking offense.
Judiciary, if favorable, rules, calendar, and operations of the House. I got insurance, finance, and rules. Okay. Messages from the Senate. The clerk will read.
Senate Bill 186, Committee Substitute, Second Edition, a bill to be entitled an act renaming the Beaufort-Moorhead City Airport Authority as the Carteret County Beaufort Airport Authority, increasing the membership of the Airport Authority from 5 to 7 members, and changing the manner of appointment to the Airport Authority.
Bills referred to Rules, Calendar, and Operations of the House.
Senate Bill 230, Committee Substitute, Second Edition, a bill to be entitled an act to direct the State Board of Education to adopt rules providing for excused absences for schools for children of members of Armed Forces of the United States.
Bills referred to Rules, Calendar, and Operations of the House.
Senate Bill 231, Committee Substitute, Second Edition, a bill to be entitled an act to direct the Department of Military and Veteran Affairs and the Department of Commerce to study the creation of economic zones around communities that host military installations and Department of Veteran Affairs hospitals that are located more than 150 miles from military installations in this state.
Bills referred to Rules, Calendar, and Operations of the House.
Back to order. The House is no longer standing at ease. We're going to resume our calendar. House Bill 43. The clerk will read.
Representatives Murphy, Lambert, and Humphrey, House Bill 43, a bill to be entitled an act establishing standards for surgical technology care in hospitals and ambulatory surgical facilities. General Assembly of North Carolina enacts.
Further discussion, further debate? If not, the question before the House. Passage of House Bill 43 on second reading. Those in favor will vote aye. Those opposed will vote no. The clerk will open the vote. Following members, Mr. Cord, Representative Black, Brockman, Farmer Butterfield, Reeves, Dobson, Bumgardner, Sauls. Any members wish to record? Now would be a good time to press either that green or red button at your desk. Representative Zachary, gentlemen wish to record? Clerk will lock machine, record the vote. 111 haven't voted in the affirmative. None the negative. House Bill 43 passes second reading. And will that objection be read a third time?
General Assembly of North Carolina next.
Gentleman from Pitt, Representative Murphy, you like to debate the bill at this time? Offer explanation. Gentleman's recognized to debate the bill.
Question of the chair.
Gentleman's recognized for an inquiry to the chair.
Was it the one we just voted on?
It was, but I know Representative Jackson was about to jump out of his chair over there wanting somebody to talk about this bill, so I give the gentleman a minute to do that. Is that fair, Representative Jackson?
Yes, sir. Thank you very much. Thank you, members, ladies and gentlemen. Today, House Bill 43, which just passed unanimously, established surgical standards for surgical technologists in the state of North Carolina. All of our neighboring states have standards for this, and essentially it's a the fact that the folks who hand me the instruments at the table when I operate on people, you want them either to be certified as they're coming out of their training sessions, number one, or they're part of a military training program that they're already grandfathered in, or they're folks that have been working in the field for years and who will be grandfathered in this. It's altogether the right thing to do, and I'm really glad everybody did it.
Further discussion, further debate? If not, the question before the House. Passage of House Bill 43 on third reading. Those in favor will say aye. Those opposed, no. The ayes have it. House Bill 43, having passed third reading, will be sent to the Senate. And members, the chair will assume, if I see a zero on the queue, that there's no debate, and we will vote. House Bill 50, the clerk will read.
Representatives Murphy, Grange, Martin, and Speciale, House Bill 50, a bill to be entitled an act authorizing certain medical professionals to prescribe hyperbaric oxygen therapy to veterans with traumatic brain injury and post-traumatic stress disorder. General Assembly, North Carolina, next.
Gentleman from Pitt, Representative Murphy, recognize the debate the bill.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I really probably should be quiet because I did pretty well last time without speaking. Ladies and gentlemen, this is actually, I think, a very serious bill, and it confronts a serious problem for our veterans. The purpose of this bill is to bring recognition to a difficult problem that a lot of our veterans face, traumatic brain injury and post-traumatic stress disorder, that is being woefully, inadequately treated, not only in North Carolina, but in our country. Now, brain injury that results from traumatic brain injury is something that is difficult to treat. There are different times when I use personally something called hyperbaric oxygen therapy, which is a treatment for wound healing. And what we're asking to do is let the state of North Carolina recognize that this is an avenue for treatment for our veterans. The purpose of this bill is to actually get private funding. No state funds will be used for organizations that will help veterans receive hyperbaric oxygen therapy. And I'll be the first to point out, I'm a scientific-oriented person, I like to look at facts and scientific studies, that the data for this at points, at times, is somewhat equivocal. However, the overwhelming anecdotal evidence that this helps in individual cases is tremendous. This passed in two committees without dissent or without problem. I would ask for your support of the bill.
For what purpose does the lady from Orange, Representative Insko, rise?
To ask the bill author a question.
Gentleman from Pitt, yield to the lady from Orange. He yields.
So this doesn't say anything about where the money's coming from, and so this is not going to go to be billed to insurance companies or Medicaid because it's not in here?
No, ma'am. There is just answer the question. This is to seek private funding for agencies. There will be no insurance requirement. There's no Medicaid. There's no Medicare. This is to help get private insurance funding for individuals and veterans.
Follow-up.
Does the gentleman yield to additional question?
I do.
He yields.
No. Will you be coordinating with anyone to evaluate and so you can establish this as a evidence that this does work?
Yes, ma'am. There are actually a lot of studies that are ongoing in doing this. They're just not being funded by federal or state dollars, and we're going to try to do this privately.
Thank you.
Further discussion, further debate? If not, the question before the House, passage of House Bill 50 on second reading. Those in favor will vote aye. Those opposed will vote no. The clerk will open the vote. Clerk will lock the machine and record the vote. 112 having voted in the affirmative, none in the negative. House Bill 50 passed the second reading and will, without objection, be read a third time.
General Assembly of North Carolina next.
Further discussion, further debate? If not, the question for the House, passage of House Bill 50 on third reading. Those in favor will say aye.
Aye.
Those opposed, no. The ayes have it. House Bill 50, having passed third reading, will be sent to the Senate. House Bill 62, the clerk will read.
Representatives Cleveland and Horn, House Bill 62, a bill to be entitled an act to provide for service members to serve on the USS North Carolina SSN 777 for a period of 180 days or longer are eligible for in-state tuition. General Assembly of North Carolina, next.
Any members wish to debate this bill? Further discussion, further debate? If not, the question for the House, passage of House Bill 62 on second reading. Those in favor will vote aye. Those opposed will vote no. The clerk will open the vote. Representative Potts, does the gentleman wish to record on the vote? I don't think Representative Dobson's on the floor. Clerk will lock the machine, record the vote. 113 having voted in the affirmative, none the negative. House Bill 62 passed the second reading. And will that objection be read a third time?
General Assembly of North Carolina annexed.
Further discussion, further debate? If not, the question for the House, passage of House Bill 62 on third reading. Those in favor will say aye. Those opposed, no. The ayes have it. House Bill 62 having passed third reading will be sent to the Senate. House Bill 77, Clerk will read.
Representatives Torbett, Presnell, Eiler, and Shepard, House Bill 77, a bill to entitle an act to define and authorize the use of electric stand-up scooters. General Assembly of North Carolina annexed.
Gentleman from Gaston, Representative Torbett, is recognized to debate the bill.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I've been waiting all week for this. Ladies and gentlemen, electric stand-up scooters, what you have in front of you is a definition, and I want to explain what current law does and what this bill actually does. Current law does not provide a definition for scooters or specifically authorize their use. It is unclear whether a scooter may fall under the definition of moped and be regulated as such. Different towns were calling them different things, if you would. So we got our heads together and came up with this definition. And what the bill announces, Section 1 of House Bill 77 would provide a statutory definition for electric stand-up scooter. The electric stand-up scooter would further be specifically excluded from the definitions of moped and motor vehicle. The definition of vehicle would be amended to include electric stand-up scooters in the same manner as bicycles, in that the provisions of Chapter 20 would apply to them when they are operated upon a highway to the extent that it makes sense to do so. Section 2 of the bill makes clear that electric stand-up scooters would be exempt from registration requirements. Section 3 of the bill provides that any ordinance adopted by a municipality that may have originally defined them as a moped or other like vehicle that conflicts with the provision of this act would be void. It also directs municipalities with ordinances affecting scooters to review these ordinances to ensure compliance. This act would become effective when it becomes law and would apply to offenses committed on or after that date. Mr. Speaker, we've had conversation with this for months with all the vendors, and no one, to my knowledge, is against this bill. Thank you.
Further discussion, further debate? If not, the question for the House is the passage of House Bill 77 on second reading. Those in favor will vote aye. Those opposed will vote no. The clerk will open the vote. Clerk will lock the machine and record the vote. 112 having voted in the affirmative, none the negative. House Bill 77 passes its second reading and will, without objection, be read a third time.
General Assembly of North Carolina annexed.
Question for the House, passage of House Bill 77 on third reading. Those in favor will say aye. Those opposed, no. The ayes have it. House Bill 77 having passed third reading will be sent to the Senate. House Bill 107, the clerk will read.
Representatives Horn, former Butterfield, and Lucas, House Bill 107, a bill to be entitled an act to make changes to educator preparation program, performance standards, and data reporting system. General Assembly of North Carolina annexed.
Gentleman from Union, Representative Horn, is recognized to debate the bill.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Ladies and gentlemen of the House, House Bill 107 comes out of Program Evaluation Division. We issued a rather extensive report back almost a year ago, June of 2018. The recommendations from the Program Evaluation Division resulted in a few changes in our education prep programs, mostly built around reporting and gathering of data. This bill has been reported out of our Committee on Universities, our Committee on K-12, and on the Rules Committee. It simply removes a quality of student as an indicator. If quality of student was an indicator of success, several of us would not be here. Secondly, it requires the State Board to establish new performance standards. It clarifies small group exemptions in order to protect people's identity. It directs the State Board to work with DPI and the Professional Educator Performance Standards Commission to consider certain information to include in their reports, and makes a few technical changes of no consequence really to the actions. I ask your support for the bill.
Further discussion, further debate? If not, the question for the House, passage of House Bill 107 on second reading. Those in favor will vote aye. Those opposed will vote no. The clerk will open the vote. Clerk will act machine record the vote. 111 having voted in the affirmative and one in the negative. House Bill 107 passes second reading. Will without objection be read a third time.
General Assembly of North Carolina enacts.
Question for the House. Passed House Bill 107 on third reading. Those in favor will say aye. Those opposed, no. The ayes have it. House Bill 107 having passed third reading will be sent to the Senate. House Bill 119. The clerk will read.
Representatives Faircloth and Ross. House Bill 119, the bill to be entitled an act to increase the maximum fee for application for certification of a renewal of a company police agency and a company police officer and for application for certification of and for renewal and campus police agency and campus police officer. General Assembly of North Carolina enacts.
The gentleman from Guilford, Representative Faircloth, is recognized to debate the bill.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Members, this particular bill pertains to the company and campany and Campus Police Program, which is a program administered by the Criminal Justice Standards Division. It's in the Department of Justice, and it's the company and Campus Police requires the commission staff to perform services such as audits, investigation, and so forth, so they oversee the administration of these units. The units are actually either formed by a company or by a campus that needs police protection, and they don't have their sheriff's department or they don't have their local police department for security on campus. The program now costs about $140,000 to administer. It was first set up and operational in 1992 when the fees were set. It's fee-based. The fees are paid by the campuses or by the companies, whoever has formed the organization. They do have, they're properly trained, they do have police authority. The fees have not changed since 1992. This request is for, would total out at about $140,000 in fees collected each year, which would be adequate to pay the cost of the operation so that no taxpayers' money is going into it. This is an effective program. They do a good job. They're well-trained, well-administered, and this money is needed. I urge your vote.
Further discussion, further debate? If not, the question for the House is the passage of House Bill 119 on its second reading. Those in favor will vote aye. Those opposed will vote no. The clerk will open the vote. The clerk will lock the machine and record the vote. 107 having voted in the affirmative and 5 in the negative. House Bill 119 passes its second reading and will, without objection, be read a third time.
General Assembly of North Carolina next.
The question for the House is the passage of House Bill 119 on its third reading. Those in favor will say aye. Those opposed, no. The ayes appear to have it. The ayes do have it. House Bill 119, having passed third reading, will be sent to the Senate. House Bill 131, the clerk will read.
Representatives Conrad, Lambert, Potts, and Torbett. House Bill 131, a bill to be entitled an act to repeal the Transportation Corridor Official Map Act. General Assembly of North Carolina enacts.
The lady from Forsyth, Representative Conrad, is recognized to debate the bill.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Ladies and gentlemen of the House, this bill repeals the Transportation Corridor Official Map Act, was enacted a long time ago, way back in 1987. As you know, for the last several years, we have had a moratorium on the Map Act, and during that period of time, we have thankfully developed new ways of planning to build our roadways. This bill passed unanimously through the Transportation Committee and then proceeded to also pass unanimously through Judiciary. As you know, there has been a great deal of litigation around the MAP Act, particularly from the landowners who are negatively impacted in my county of Forsyth. And the court system has ruled consistently in favor of the landowners that when these maps were filed, it was an actual taking, and these landowners should have been compensated justly for their property. So I know the citizens in my county will be very thankful if you vote yes on this bill today, as I'm sure they will be across the state of North Carolina, and we finally repeal the MAP Act. Thank you so much.
Further discussion, further debate? If not, the question for the House is the passage of House Bill 131 on a second reading. Those in favor will vote aye. Those opposed will vote no. The clerk will open the vote. clerk will lock the machine, record the vote. 114 having voted in the affirmative and none in the negative. House Bill 131 passes second reading and will, without objection, be read a third time.
General Assembly is now calling next.
Question before the House is the passage of House Bill 131 on its third reading. Those in favor will say aye.
Aye.
Those opposed, no. The ayes have it. House Bill 131, having passed its third reading, will be sent to the Senate. House Bill 184, the clerk will read.
Representatives Dobson, Howard, Brisson, and Adcock, House Bill 184, a bill to be entitled an act to examine the need and concerns of state employees' participation in North Carolina State Health Plan for teachers and state employees, and to further study, redesign the state health plan in a way that adopts and practices the payment methodology that promotes health while incentivizing participation in both employees and providers. General Assembly of North Carolina next.
Further discussion, further debate? If not, for what purpose, the gentleman from McDowell, Representative Dobson, rise?
To debate the bill.
Gentleman's recognized to debate the bill.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Members, the first thing I want to do is explain the bill and then give you some final comments. Page 1 of the bill creates a legislative committee to examine all aspects of the state health plan. The committee will be made up of 4 members of the House appointed by the Speaker, 4 from the Senate appointed by the President pro tempore, the executive administrator of the state health plan, 1 member from the Med Society, 1 from the Healthcare Association, 1 member from the Nurses Association, 2 members from the State Employees Association, 1 member appointed by the Retired Government Employees Association of North Carolina, 1 member from NCAE, 1 member from the Psychiatric Association. The Speaker and the Senate pro tempore shall designate 1 member each as co-chairs. The first meeting will be within 30 days of passage. The committee will be tasked with examining 12 specific components to redesigning the state health plan. Pricing that is referenced to other payment models that have been implemented and have shown to reduce cost without compromising care, methods by which to ensure transparency with regard to pricing and costs for employees and their dependents, as well as for the state health plan as a whole. Employee and family premiums that are appropriate, preferably without an increase, employee premiums. Incentive programs to encourage utilization of primary care, virtual health options, joining the state health plan with other state-funded health plans, payments of subsidies for buying individual plans on the marketplace, date that compares a 5-year history of actual cost to the plan versus anticipated cost and spending projections, claims data by healthcare provider claimants, demographic data of plan subscribers, including data on cost drivers, any other items necessary for development of a modern state health plan. Number 12, the 12th one, will give broad authority to the committee to make recommendations they deem as necessary for the good of the state health plan. The committee will submit a final report no later than December 15, 2019. For the time period July 1, 2019 through December 31, 2020, the state health plan will continue to use the third-party payer-provider network and to reimburse participating network providers in accordance with 100% of the applicable fee schedule. Finally, while the committee is conducting its work, reference-based pricing to reimburse providers will not be used. The hope is that the General Assembly would act on the recommendations prior to December of 2020. All of you, no doubt, are already familiar, but that's the basics of the bill. After having discussions with members on both sides of the aisle, Representative Ball submitted a good amendment to address some of the concerns of members of both sides of the aisle. I was proud to support that amendment. On a personal note, members, I do know this one's been tough. The personal attacks that you all have faced has not been pleasant, to say the least. And for that, I'm sorry. I do hope in the future our politics can be better. Regardless of how this turns out, we should be able to have an exchange of ideas and discourse without personal attacks and our integrity questioned. We're better than that as a state. Those who oppose this bill, I know they have legitimate concerns about the fiscal sustainability of the state health plan, as do I. But those of us who support this bill are genuinely, in the end, concerned about health care in rural areas of our state and all areas of our state. So for now, after all the heated rhetoric is set aside, in the end, what I'm asking for is your support for this bill to bring all the stakeholders to the table to come up with a more comprehensive solution that puts the state health plan on a fiscally sustainable path, but do it in a way that has buy-in from everyone involved and does not jeopardize access to care in underserved areas of the state like mine. With that, I'm asking you for your support and will be glad to take any questions. Thank you, Mr. Speaker.
Members, we have a couple of amendments, I believe. So the chair is going to dispose of the amendments before we go into debate on the bill. Representative Speciale has two amendments. The chair is going to take, we're going to first do amendment ABC 16 version 3. The clerk will read.
Representative Speciale moves to amend the bill on page 2, lines 8 through 10, by rewriting those lines to read.
The gentleman is recognized to debate the amendment.
Ladies and gentlemen, the portion of the bill that this is changing states that the state treasurer will be a part of the committee, but he will be a non-voting member, which makes absolutely no sense. The state treasurer is tasked with the responsibility for the performance of the state health plan. So he's got to have a vote on that. And so this would give him a vote. What it would also do is remove the portion that says that they can continue to expand this committee with a vote of a majority. It's already, it's a large enough committee, and I can see, and I think all of us have been around long enough to where we can see the politics that could be played if you continue to expand a committee. If it looks like it's leaning in one direction, you want it to lean in another, you just add some more people. So it would remove that opportunity for expansion and leave the committee as it is, and it would give the state treasurer a vote, which is only fair. So I ask you to support this. It makes things a little bit fairer.
For what purpose? The gentleman from McDowell, Representative Dobson, rise.
To debate the amendment.
The gentleman has the floor to debate the amendment.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I appreciate Representative Shally breaking this one amendment into two amendments, coming to the table and seeing how we can work this out. I think we need more of that. So, as a primary sponsor of this bill, I have no objection to this amendment, and I think it makes sense, so I'd encourage your support.
For what purpose does the Representative Adcott's lady wish to debate the amendment?
No, sir, the bill.
Representative Murphy, is this on the amendment?
Yes, it is.
Gentleman's recognized to debate the amendment.
I just want to speak in favor of the amendment. I believe it's altogether the right fitting thing to have Mr. Falwell at the table. He is in charge of the health care plan, and I would ask for your support of the amendment.
Further discussion, further debate on the amendment? If not, the question before the House is the passage of Amendment A1 sent forward by Representative Speciale. Those in favor will vote aye. Those opposed will vote no. The clerk will open the vote. Clerk will lock the machine and record the vote. 106 having voted in the affirmative, 5 in the negative. The amendment is adopted. We're now back. There's another amendment. Representative Speciale is recognized to send forth Amendment ABC 18, Version 1. The clerk will read.
Representative Speciale moves to amend the bill on page 3, line 1 through 10, by deleting the lines.
The gentleman is recognized to debate the amendment.
Ladies and gentlemen, this amendment would remove Section 2 from the bill. Section 2 requires that we continue to use Blue Cross Blue Shield for the next several years. Doesn't give any option. I'm trying to remember. I'm reading it here, trying to remember what we got in here. And what it does, it also prevents the treasurer from utilizing the option that he's trying to do. What he's trying to do is the reference-based pricing, and it prevents him from doing that. It prevents him from trying to improve the state health plan, trying to cut costs. And so I ask you to support this and support the treasurer in his effort to cut costs from this program. Thank you.
What purpose? Gentleman from McDowell, Representative Dobson Rice.
To debate the amendment.
Gentleman has the floor to debate the amendment.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Members, this amendment is a little more problematic than the previous amendment, and I don't believe that Representative Speciale would disagree, but this does gut the bill. It would completely change what we're trying to do in this bill, so I would urge you to oppose this amendment. Thank you.
Further discussion, further debate on the amendment. I believe the only lights I see on are for the bill. If not, the question for the House, passage of Amendment A2 sent forward by Representative Speciale. Those in favor will vote aye. Those opposed will vote no. The clerk will open the vote. Representative Brockman wish to record on this vote. Clerk Lott and Sheen record the vote. 23 having voted in the affirmative, 88 in the negative. The amendment fails. Now back on the bill. For what purpose does the lady from Wake, Representative Adcock, rise?
To debate the bill.
Ladies recognize, debate the bill.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I agree with Representative Dobson that I know that this has been a difficult decision for everyone who's going to cast a vote today, and I want to thank him for his leadership and his calmness through the entire situation. I know that you all know that I'm a family nurse practitioner of 32 years, and I have to consider all possible impacts of treatment decisions when I'm dealing with my patients to avoid critical and avoidable situations that can be difficult, if not impossible, to undo once the damage is done. That is my fear if House Bill 184 is not passed. And just like what I do for my patients who have resistant hypertension, when I want to lower their blood pressure to prevent a heart attack or a stroke without causing kidney failure or diabetes, I have to fully evaluate the problem to be solved, the possible remedies, and the consequences of the chosen remedy. The sustainability of any solution or solutions to the acknowledged problems with the state health plan need careful consideration, just as this bill sets forth. For the long-term health of the state health plan, I commend this bill to you, and I ask for your yes vote. Thank you.
For what purpose, the gentleman from Cumberland, Representative Floyd, rise?
To ask Representative Dobson a question, please.
Which member?
Representative Dobson.
Does the gentleman from McDowell yield to the gentleman from Cumberland?
I yield.
He yields.
Representative, the amendment that Representative Psychology presented, it sort of changed the bill, and it gave the treasurer a vote on the committee or an ex officio.
It gave the whoever the presiding treasurer is a vote.
Okay, thank you. Thank you.
Members, please join the chair in welcoming with us to the floor former member of the House, Representative David Diamond from Surry County. Representative Diamond, thanks for being with us. Please join me in welcoming him. For what purpose does the lady from Carteret, Representative McElrath, rise?
To speak on the bill.
The lady has the floor to debate the bill.
I'm going to turn around. I hate to have my back to you all. Thank you, members. I understand what Representative Dobson and the team that are on this bill are trying to do. We do have some issues with our rural hospitals, and I want to make sure that they're taken care of and that they don't go under. But we also have an issue in this state with our unfunded liabilities. Our treasurer, Dale Falwell, was here when I came in as a freshman. Every time he got up to speak, he preached on the unfunded liabilities in not only the health system, but also the retirement system. Since he's been elected treasurer, he's trying to do something about that. Now, I understand that this is a study, but the problem is it prevents Dale, Treasurer Falwell, from doing anything to save the state of North Carolina hundreds of millions of dollars until almost 2 years from now. I hope that when, I know it's going to pass, I hope that when it goes to the Senate, that they will consider, if they pass this bill and the bill sponsor will consider, allowing Treasurer Falwell to go ahead with the big hospitals, Let him go ahead and start making the money by doing the reimbursements at the Medicare at 177% or whatever whatever he was trying to do. Because I tell you, Atrium Hospital has over $4 billion in their reserve. Now, I'm hearing this secondhand. I don't know that as a fact. In our rainy day fund, we had $1.2 billion to take care of the whole state of North Carolina. In one hospital that pays its CEOs very well, has $4 billion in the reserves. We also have several other hospitals that I used to sell to as a sales rep in the medical field. A lot of times they never asked to negotiate pricing because they had so much money in reserves. Yet we're asking taxpayers to foot the bill to save these hospitals. If we allow Treasurer Falwell to go ahead and take the larger hospitals and start reimbursing them at 177%, and then phase in the 300-bed hospitals, the 200, the 100, I think we might be able to all agree that would still save our rural hospitals. My rural hospital was agreeing with that. They said that gives them time to do things like they just did. They gave early retirement to a lot of employees to save money because they saw this coming. We can't ask the taxpayers to foot the whole bill for this. They're already paying the employees. We have got to do something to take care of these unfunded liabilities, and that's what the treasurer is supposed to be doing. I know that the vote is going to be probably 88 to 25 again, but I hope when it goes to the Senate that the bill sponsors would consider that, to allow him to go ahead and start with those hospitals. And our real concern are the smaller hospitals, the rural hospitals. And then he can phase those in. Thank you for listening.
For what purpose does the gentleman from Cabarrus, Representative Pittman, rise?
Speak on the bill.
Gentleman has the floor to debate the bill.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I got a whole folder full of stuff here, but I don't have time to go through all of it. A lot of it you've probably already seen because I got some of it in emails you probably also received. I have a memorandum here from a member of the North Carolina State Health Plan Board of Trustees. Says that the way we're going, State Health Plan will be out of money in 2023, just 4 years from now. I don't think we can wait on a two-year study to see what we're going to do about something that's likely to be the case in 4 years. I have another thing here about the fact that, we hear all these hospitals are saying how they're going to lose all this money. It's going to hurt them so big. They got a thing here about the hospital at East Carolina, $10 million going from the hospital fund over to the athletic fund to help with their stadium. If they can do $10 million for that out of the hospital fund, I'm not too worried about them running out of money anytime soon. Got a thing here from a scenic member talking about their concerns. I'm a scenic member and have the state health plan. I urge you to oppose this bill. It does nothing more than require state employees to continue overpaying to our health care or for our health care despite evidence from multiple audits showing we're overpaying. We can't wait three more years to make these changes. We are irresponsibly handing over state employee and taxpayer money to the tune of $1 million each day. We delay doing the right thing. And she goes on with the concerns. I know at one point Treasurer Falwell asked for some figures from hospital folks. And he got this packet here in reply. Can you see what I'm showing you? All these blacked out pages? Page after page of information he had asked for, just blacked out. As far as I'm concerned, he might as well have just gone over to his office, slapped him in the face, and spit on him. Total disrespect. Ladies and gentlemen, I wrote this out so I wouldn't take the whole 15 minutes, hopefully. There are defining moments of decision which come along from time to time and reveal our true character. We may be on the verge of one of those defining moments in our state's history when it becomes clear concerning this bill and the issues it addresses, whether we in government are truly focused on what is best for our people. I fear the answer may not be good for our people if we pass this bill. The majority of our citizens wisely elected Dale Falwell to be our state treasurer, to be, as he says, the keeper of the public purse. Treasurer Falwell started immediately upon taking office the task of pressing for more transparency and lower costs to our taxpayers for services essential to the well-being of our state and our state employees and thus needful of proper management on behalf of our citizens. He quickly obtained reductions in costs paid to investment entities on behalf of the state health and retirement plans. Moving forward in the responsible management of these financial responsibilities as treasurer, Mr. Falwell has sought to promote transparency concerning the actual cost to the state health plan and to provide members of the plan and concerned citizens with accurate information about medical costs, information to which those who pay for the plan, being members of the plan and the citizens of our state, which includes those members, are absolutely entitled. Not surprisingly, those who are growing monopolies in the healthcare industry in this state are not pleased with Mr. Falwell's efforts. They prefer to defend their bottom line rather than be open and clear with our people about the actual cost of healthcare versus what it should be. When Mr. Falwell tried to work with them and asked for the information he needed to do his job properly, he was sent this thick stack of papers, which I just showed you with most of the information blacked out, a very sarcastic, evasive, and disrespectful response to the request of a good public servant trying to do the job he was elected to do. Now we have this bill which would seek to delay Mr. Falwell in doing his job by putting him off with a study. I couldn't help but notice that in the original bill, the report from that study was not due until April 1st, 2020, which would have given the people trying to interfere with Mr. Falwell a chance to take him out in the primary next March before the report would be due. Thanks to Representative Ball for changing that deadline to December 15th of this year. Yet this bill is still about preventing him from moving forward now with the good work he is trying to do for our people. The bill was not originally presented as a study bill. It was meant to take away from the treasurer the authority to do the job Mr. Falwell was elected to do. Why has it been changed to a study bill? Could it be that the supporters of this effort to stop Mr. Falwell from doing his job came to realize how divisive that effort would be because of the uproar that they have faced over it and decided to be more subtle, delaying his efforts to promote transparency and hoping he will not be reelected? That makes sense to me. Dale Falwell is probably the most competent person and is certainly one of the most honest public servants ever to have held the job of North Carolina State Treasurer. His focus is always to do the best job he can for our people and the state of North Carolina. I consider his personal and professional integrity and wisdom to be second to none in this state. I trust his motives implicitly. His efforts are all about better service at a fair and reasonable cost for our people. If anyone knows what he is doing in our state government, it is Dale Falwell. I implore you to do the right thing for our people. Defeat this bill. Leave Dale Falwell alone and let him do his job.
For what purpose does the gentleman from Craven, Representative Speciale, rise?
Speak on the bill.
The gentleman has the floor to debate the bill.
What we keep hearing, if we don't pass this bill, if we let Dale do what he wants to do, the sky is going to fall. We're going to lose our rural hospitals. We need this bill so we don't have to close rural hospitals. Rural hospitals, ladies and gentlemen, has become the third rail for North Carolina, just like Social Security is for our folks up in Washington. Everything you try to do that would affect in any way, shape, or form the hospital lobby, the hospital folks, the medical community, what we hear is, oh, we'll have to close rural hospitals. I heard it when I tried to push getting rid of con laws, certificate of need laws. And they said, oh, we can't get rid of certificate of need laws. We got to have that. It's the only way we can afford to keep the rural hospitals open. As they shortly thereafter closed one of the rural hospitals in my district. It doesn't wash anymore. it doesn't wash. They've got money to give to sports teams. They've got money to build elaborate. I've looked at some of the add-ons and the additions in some of these buildings, and it's just insane. The money that's being spent on aesthetics, for them to tell us that they don't have the money, that they don't have the reserves, when we know better. I'm driving through my district, listening to the radio, listening to fake ads, fake news ads, about what's going on, and I know better. I had Dale Falwell was in my office with a couple other legislators, and we sat down and we talked, and I said, what happened? What's going on? He said he got with some of the powers that be in the hospital, all the folks on the other side that disagree with this. He got with them and he said, hey, how much waste and abuse do you think is in the system? And the numbers range from 12% to 25%. So he took an average. He said, 15%. It's less than average. He said, come back to me when you got a way that we can cut 15% from the system. And he didn't hear from him again. So I made arrangements for a meeting so they could sit down and talk, and they didn't show. And he tried to get with them, and they didn't show. So when he finally decided, well, something has to be done, here's what we're going to do, and they know now that he's serious, now they want to pretend, they want to try to convince you that they want to sit down and talk. Though he has still offered to sit down and talk, and that hasn't happened. And they said, no, he hasn't sat down to talk. Well, again, I'm going by what he said, sitting in my office, that he was willing to negotiate and they were not. We understand that we have over $33 billion, $36 billion, something like that, in unfunded liabilities. How do we handle that? How do we do it? If we can't cut costs, then you and I are going to have to figure out how to do it. And it's going to be through raising taxes. It's going to be through some of the ways that are untenable for many of us. The state health plan is not designed to subsidize everybody else's health plans. And that's what it's being used for. Dale Falwell, the state treasurer, has increased what would be going into rural hospitals. He has increased what would be going. He started off, I don't remember what he started off with, but I know at one point it was 177% of the Medicare rate or Medicaid rate. And it's just, he's changed it. He's upped it. He's made concessions. And we're hearing nothing. We're hearing nothing from the other side. They don't want to give an inch. This is your health plan. This is the health plan that you and I are responsible for, that we gave that task of keeping it viable to the state treasurer. And now we're telling him, yeah, I know you have a plan to fix it. I know you have a plan to make it better, but we're not going to let you do that because our friends on the other side say no. Here's what I say, that we do not pass this bill, that we allow him to do what he wants to do, and I can promise you that as soon as he starts to implement what he wants to implement, the hospital lobby will sit down and talk to him. They will negotiate. Sometimes you have to take a stand. This is not a partisan issue. This is not a Republican issue, a Democrat issue. This is a North Carolina issue that we have to resolve. I ask you to think about what you're doing here, to think about the ramifications of this. Let the state treasurer do what he was elected to do. Let the state treasurer do what many of you elected him to do, or that many of you hoped he would do once he got up there. And I ask you to be serious today and think about this. Throw the politics aside and let's vote no on this bill.
For what purpose does the gentleman from Wake, Representative Jackson, rise?
Speak on the bill.
The gentleman has the floor to debate the bill.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. When I think about this bill and the process it's gone through, I imagine when I used to play board games with my children, and one would want to play one game and one would want to play another, and the pieces would be moved all around the board. We would use one board, but everybody would seem to be playing a different game. You know, nothing the treasurer has proposed will save anybody the cost of health care. Still costs the same. It's just who's going to pay it. And nothing this bill addresses does anything to cut the cost of health care. Again, it just decides who's going to pay for it. You know, things that we have done in this body, like Medicaid transformation, that is an attempt to control health care cost. That is a win-win where people benefit from actions we've taken. But nothing the treasurer has done or proposed, or nothing that this bill sponsors have proposed, does anything to make the people in North Carolina, and particularly those on the state plan, health plan, any healthier. We're just moving the pieces on the board about who pays for uninsured care. And that is the real problem that we're facing here. Scenic, like all of us who have private insurance, doesn't like paying more than their fair share due to cost shifting. And I don't blame them for that, and I don't disagree with them for that. You've got to address cost sharing for uninsured care, but you got to look at it from a hospital standpoint. If you come into that ER, they don't get to ask you, do you have insurance or not? They have to treat you. By law, they have to see whether you have insurance or not, whether you can pay that $1 million hospital or not, bill, whether you can pay for that medicine or not. They got to give it to you. So I understand the hospital dilemma as well. The way you address cost shifting and uninsured care in this state and put downward pressure on premiums is Medicaid expansion. Over 1 million people in this state are without health insurance, and the majority of them are between the ages of 19 and 64, and they're employed, but they can't afford insurance. So all citizens of the state bear these costs when the uninsured seek uncompensated care at our hospitals. If the state expanded its Medicaid program, uninsured patients would gain coverage and hospitals would receive some reimbursement. Then they wouldn't have to shift so many costs over to those on private insurance plans.
Representative Jackson, the gentleman would ask the gentleman to contain his remarks relevant to this bill. There is not a Medicaid expansion bill before the body.
Mr. Speaker, with all due respect, we've heard basically treasurer campaign commercials from people. We've heard about slaps and things. I'm talking about the problem here, which is the amount of money the state health plan is paying because of cost shifting. I just have one more paragraph, Mr. Speaker. Premiums for people who buy their own health insurance are 7% lower in states that have expanded Medicaid than in states that haven't. Until we address that issue of cost shifting, we're just moving pieces around the board, everybody playing a different game, and we aren't really addressing the real problem. Thank you, Mr. Speaker.
For what purpose does the gentleman from Randolph, Representative McNeil, rise?
To ask the bill sponsor a question.
Does the gentleman from McDowell yield to the gentleman from Randolph?
I yield.
He yields.
Representative Dobson, would it be a fair statement to say that the hospitals oppose this bill, that and reference-based pricing and price transparency?
No, sir, they do not oppose the bill.
So the Hospital Association does not oppose the bill. Excuse me, support the bill. I'm sorry.
There are providers who support the bill. There are many on each side who supports the bill, but I'm not going to speak for any association or any group.
Okay. Let me ask
Jim,
you this.
Does Jim yield to an additional question?
I yield.
He yields.
Follow up. Is this question or this issue specific to North Carolina? Are other states struggling with this same question?
Again, I wouldn't want to speak for other states. I know other states are trying different things. I'm just trying to stay focused on North Carolina.
To debate the bill.
The gentleman from Randolph has the floor to debate the bill.
All right. I'm going to read from a article that was in the Wall Street Journal March the 8th of this year, 2019. So this is not old information. It says the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services is seeking public comment on whether patients have a right to see the discounted prices in advance of obtaining care. The invitation for comment outlined in a little noticed passage of a broader patient data proposal released last month. Commercial health care markets are rife with complex systems of hidden charges, of which hospital systems and doctor practices are driving high cost. And I'm not going to read the whole thing, but I am going to go over to the next page and say this. Administration officials could move to issue a final ruling mandating the disclosure of negotiated rates after the comment period closes May the 3rd. So it appears that our federal government is looking at exactly the same thing that we're talking about. And there's a public comment period going on now, and they may issue some kind of guidance after May the 3rd. So, Mr. Speaker, may I ask the bill sponsor another question?
Gentleman McDowell, yield to the gentleman from Randolph.
I yield.
He yields.
If the federal government decides for the patients in this and price transparency, what would this do to our bill or the bill that you're sponsoring?
Thank you for the question. And with a point of personal privilege, I appreciate your passion for this as well. We've been friends a long time. On this particular case, I would hate to comment hypothetically on what may or may not come down from the federal government. So I would hesitate to comment on that.
Just a final comment then, and I'll
Jones recognized.
The same issues that we're discussing today are being discussed on the federal level. It's very, very possible that the administration is going to weigh in on this, and they may decide and they may not decide to make this pricing public. So I guess we'll just have to wait and see. It seems to me like we're kind of rushing this bill. I, for one, would like to wait and see what the federal government does. We may be doing something that the federal government reverses in a little over a month. But that's it.
For what purpose does the gentleman from Beaufort, Representative Kidwell, rise?
Rise to speak on the bill.
The gentleman is recognized. Debate the bill.
There's been a lot of information on both sides of this issue pertaining to what the costs are of insurance, what the costs are of health care. Suffice to say, in the last 10 years, the cost of health care has gone through the roof. This General Assembly sent over, or previous General Assembly sent a health care plan that had been messed up here over to the Treasurer and asked him to solve this problem. Now we're seeking to hobble him from doing exactly what we charged him to do. One of the interesting points that I'd like for everybody to do is take out the legislative actuarial note and look on page one at the cost to the state if you pass HB 184. That cost will be somewhere between $235 million and $509 million, of which 57% are derived from the general fund. Chew on that for a few minutes and think about the cost we're talking about. If you turn to page two, about halfway down, in the bottom of that second paragraph, it indicates we'll add $1.1 billion, B, to our unfunded liabilities. I venture to say that HB 184 is going to cost us a ton of money that we're going to have to answer to by increasing taxes, by increasing the amount we charge the employees for their health care, by some method. Because this simply is not going to be tenable, as most health insurance costs are today. I encourage you to cut through the partisanship on this and look at the numbers. And we have to vote no on this bill.
For what purpose does the gentleman from Forsyth, Representative Lambeth, rise?
Debate the bill.
The gentleman has the floor to debate the bill.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Wow, I don't even know where to start. Healthcare is complex. Healthcare is way too expensive. The trend line for so many years now has been at a rate much greater than the rate of inflation. It is out of control. It has been out of control for a while. Cost shifting has been going around for 30 years. It's just now that we're figuring out that we as private payers are paying a portion of the government's inadequate payments to providers. My contention in this has been that we need to take a little time. I see no harm in taking a few months to figure all this out, that this model that the state health plan follows today is broken, and it's not going to be fixed by changing the pricing model. That the only way to really fix this is what we've done with Medicaid transformation. That we need to move to a prepaid health plan with a capitated rate that shifts the risk to the providers so that they can manage the patients. The reason there's waste in the healthcare system is because we order too many tests. We duplicate tests. If you're transferred from one hospital to the other, you get your test duplicated. But that's the way the current system works. It encourages that kind of behavior. The only way, as I've noted, and I've said this to Treasurer Falwell, to change this model is to move to a capitated system. And I believe that if we take our time and get some of the emotions out of it and look at the ways that we can actually restructure this plan, I believe we can come up with a better option. And that better option will save the state a whole lot more money. I believe that what will happen, that this body will be here in 2 years, because this is not going to fix the problem. This is going to delay the inevitable problem that we have to change the model. That in 2 years, we'll be back here debating, well, what happened? We're still double-digit increases in the cost of health care. This is a one-time Band-Aid fix to put a pricing plan in place. But again, in a few years, we're going to be right back in this same situation because we've done nothing to change the fundamental model of how we fund this plan. So my appeal to you is take a little time, try to get it right. This is not a referendum on Del Falwell. Del Falwell is my friend. I campaigned for him. I will again. Del Falwell is one of the smartest men I know. He does things the right way. So this is not a referendum on Del Falwell. And we're trying to make it that. We're trying to make this more about the treasurer than we are the fundamental problem here. Let's fix this once and for all. Let's take a few months. Let's put this group together and let's fix this problem. We did that with Medicaid reform. It took us a few months to figure all that out. But we got all the providers in a room. We gathered their input. We took the emotion out of it. And guess what? That bill was passed in 15. We're now in 19. This stuff doesn't change overnight. It takes a little time to change that battleship and shift it around. I believe we can do a better job, and that all the pricing transparency is nothing more than a buzzword. And if we do it right, we'll fix this for the long term. And that long-term liability will start being reduced. We'll gain control of it. And we'll have a model that is much better than the model that we're talking about. So my appeal to you is to support this and give both sides a little time to fix it and fix it right. Thank you, Mr. Speaker.
For what purpose? The gentleman from Gaston, Representative Bumgardner, rise.
Debate the bill.
The gentleman has the floor to debate the bill.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I agree that we have out of control costs, and I agree that we're trying to mandate some time here, but to call this a study bill, this is not a study bill. This bill mandates in the last section, which we voted the amendment down to take out, till the end of December. It says December 31st of 2020. That's almost 2 years. We're saying we're going to leave things as they are. And we've also heard that as they are is not working, not sustainable. I think that the General Assembly doesn't like it when we have judges legislate from the bench. Now we're mandating what the state treasurer is going to do, and I'm not doing a commercial for the state treasurer, but I'm saying he ran statewide on this issue, and I think he should make the decision on this issue, and we should then take a look at what's happened, why it's happened, and how it's happened. And if we need to do something about it, then we've got plenty of time to do something about it. So I would ask you to vote against this bill mandating that we decide that nothing's going to change, because that's what we'll be doing.
Further discussion, further debate? If not, the question for the House is the passage of House Bill 184 on its second reading. Those in favor will vote aye. Those opposed will vote no. The clerk will open the vote. Clerk will lock the machine and record the vote. 75 having voted in the affirmative, 36 in the negative. House Bill 184 passes second reading and will without objection be read a third time.
General Assembly of North Carolina enacts.
Further discussion, further debate? If not, the question for the House. Passage of House Bill 184 on third reading. Those in favor will say aye.
Aye.
Those opposed, no. In the opinion of the chair, the ayes have it. The ayes do have it. House Bill 184 having passed third reading is ordered engrossed and sent to the Senate. House Bill 211, the clerk will read.
Representative Shepherd, House Bill 211, a bill to be entitled an act to make various changes to motor vehicle laws of the state. General Assembly of North Carolina enacts.
General from Onslow, Representative Shepherd, recognized to debate the bill.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. First, we have two amendments. If it's okay with you, I'd like for the amendment sponsors to run their amendments first, and then we'll debate the bill.
Representative Shepherd, go ahead and explain the bill, then I'll come back to Representative Speciale. The gentleman has the floor.
Basically, this bill was one that DMV asked for. It was vetted heavily in transportation and received an overwhelming approval. It's just some changes DMV had asked for.
Gentleman from Craven, Representative Speciale, recognized to send forth an amendment. Clerk will read.
Representative Speciale moves to amend the bill on page 4 by inserting the following between lines 10 and 11.
Gentleman has the floor to debate the amendment.
Ladies and gentlemen, we passed this as a bill last session, sent it over to the Senate, and like many, many, many other bills of yours and mine, they just sat there in the Senate, nothing happened. So what we'd like to do is send it back to them to put it in there. If you look on your desk, I sent you a picture or give you a picture of an auto cycle. This is a specific type. And when we did the law on auto cycles, we had no idea of the different types or anything else, and so we mandated that they wear helmets and all these other things. But if you look at this, this is essentially a little car with a one wheel in the rear. That's the only difference. Otherwise, it has bucket seats, it has a windshield, it has a steering wheel. It's just like driving a little MG or something. Okay. So there's a lot of confusion right now as to whether they're supposed to wear helmets in these or not supposed to wear helmets. I believe the Highway Patrol, I've got something in my pile here where they explained to some lady that they didn't need to wear it, but some of the local police are saying you do need to wear it. So the interpretation is all messed up. It's unclear what needs to be. And so what this does is it clears it up and it says that you don't need to wear it. Because you're strapped in, you have a seat belt just like a car. You've got raised seats above your head. And again, windshield, it's just like driving a little car. So if we're going to mandate that they wear a helmet in here, then we should do the same thing for the little MGs and the little convertible cars. It's the same thing. So I ask for your support. Again, we passed this last time, but it sat in the Senate. So I ask that you support it again, and let's put it in this bill and send it back over to the Senate. Thank you.
Further discussion, further debate on the amendment? If not, the question for the House is the adoption of Amendment A1 sent forward by Representative Speciale. Those in favor will vote aye. Those opposed will vote no. The clerk will open the vote. Clerk will lock the machine, record the vote. 104 having voted in the affirmative, 9 in the negative. The amendment's adopted. Representative Torbett's recognized, send forth the amendment. Clerk will read.
Representative Torbett moves to amend the bill on page 4, lines 10 through 11, by inserting the following between the lines.
Chairman's recognized to debate the amendment.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I've actually passed out my copies of the amendment to other folks, but the DMV also brought this in late. And what this amendment would do is it addresses the license, your license being revoked for failure to pay court fines only. And if that was your case and that was the shape, then this would allow you to apply to the court for a one-year limited driving privilege once every 3 years, so you couldn't just continue to do it. That's pretty much what the amendment does. I know of no one that is in opposition.
Further discussion, further debate. For what purpose does the gentleman from Wake, Representative Jackson Rice?
To ask the amendment sponsor a question.
Does the gentleman from Gaston yield to the gentleman from Wake?
Absolutely, Mr.
Yields.
Speaker.
Thank you, Representative Torbett. Is this driving privilege going to operate the way current driving privileges for these types of offenses operate, in that you'll have to pay, I think it's a $100 filing fee, set it up in civil court and then schedule it in front of a district court judge in order to get this driving privilege?
One would assume as much. I have nothing that says different.
Mr. Speaker, could I ask an additional question?
Gentleman, yield. He yields.
Representative Torbett, thank you for that. DMV or DOT is okay with this, or not concerned about the number or the cost? Or
that's where it originated from, sir.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker.
For what purpose, the lady from Surrey, Representative Stevens, rise.
To see if Representative Jackson would yield to a question for me.
Gentleman from Wake, yield to the lady from Surrey.
Yes, sir.
He yields.
Representative Jackson, I think you and I both have a lot of familiarity with this. This is not going to solve the problem, is it? Because these people aren't going to be able to get their license back if they fail to pay costs and fines, and then they get a DWLR for not having paid costs and fines. I mean, right. It's not going to solve the problem, is it? Is there a solution?
Well, I believe there might be some solutions. I've seen some things that some different counties are doing as far as going back and just maybe, I don't know if it's forgiving is the right word, all these past due fines, but uncollectibles, so that people can get back to driving and get on the way. You know, this is kind of interesting, and what it says is if you can't pay your court cost, you can't pay $100 and get a limited driving privilege. And in my experience, you're probably going to hire an attorney to get that for you in a large county like Wake County. You're not going to be able to get through the bureaucracy to get that driving privilege. But I think this is a step in the right direction. I like the fact that we're going to keep people driving legally and keep them insured, and I think that's a step in the right direction.
Further discussion, further debate? If not, the question for the House is the adoption of Amendment A2 sent forward by Representative Torbett. Those in favor will vote aye. Those opposed will vote no. The clerk will open the vote. Clerk Lock Machine record the vote. 111 having voted in the affirmative, 2 in the negative. The amendment's adopted. We're now back on the bill. Further discussion, further debate? If not, the question before the House, passage of House Bill 211 on second reading. Those in favor will vote aye. Those opposed will vote no. The clerk will open the vote. Representative Murphy, wish to record? Clerk will lock machine record the vote. 113 having voted in the affirmative, none in the negative. House Bill 211 passes second reading and will, without objection, be read a third time.
General Assembly of North Carolina next.
Question for the House, passage of House Bill 211 on third reading. Those in favor will say aye. Those opposed, no. The ayes have it. House Bill 211 having passed third reading is ordered engrossed and sent to the Senate. House Bill 262, the clerk will read.
Representative Henson, House Bill 262, a bill to be entitled an act designating the city of Brevard, town of Rossman, and Transylvania County as North Carolina's official land of waterfalls. General Assembly of North Carolina.
Gentleman from Transylvania, Representative Henson, recognized to debate the bill.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Members, it's a simple bill. Does exactly what the title says it'll do. Appreciate your support.
Further discussion, further debate? If not, the question before the House is the passage of House Bill 262 on second reading. Those in favor will vote aye. Those opposed will vote no. The clerk will open the vote. Representative Potts, Representative Montgomery, do the gentleman wish to record on this vote? Clerk will lock machine record the vote. 114 having voted in the affirmative, none in the negative. House Bill 262 passes its second reading and will without objection. Be read a third time.
General Assembly of North Carolina next.
Question for the House, the passage of House Bill 262 on third reading. Those in favor will say aye. Those opposed, no. The ayes have it. House Bill 262, having passed third reading, will be sent to the Senate. House Bill 308, the clerk will read.
Representatives Dixon, Strickland, Barnes, and Conrad, House Bill 308, a bill to be entitled an act to expand outdoor advertising, bona fide farms, and other owned property. General Assembly of North Carolina next.
The gentleman from Duplin, Representative Dixon, is recognized to debate the bill.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker and colleagues. This bill is a small proactive effort to help some of our small farmers across the state by expanding a little bit the outdoor advertisement rules to allow them to place a little bit larger sign on their own property advertising the various commodities that they raise for sale. I would appreciate your vote. It's sponsored by Farm Bureau. I know of no opposition to the bill.
Further discussion, further debate. If not, the question before the House is the passage of House Bill 308 on second reading. Those in favor will vote aye. Those opposed will vote no. The clerk will open the vote. Representatives Adams, Harrison, Lucas, members wish to record. Clerk will light machine, record the vote. 114, having voted in the affirmative, none in the negative. House Bill 308 passes second reading. The will without objection be read a third time.
General Assembly of North Carolina next.
For what purpose, the gentleman from Yadkin? Representative Zachary Rice. Question for the House, passage of House Bill 308 on third reading. Those in favor will say aye. Those opposed, no. The ayes have it. House Bill 308, having passed third reading, will be sent to the Senate. House Bill 315, the clerk will read.
Representatives Elmore, Art, and Johnson, House Bill 315, a bill to be entitled Act to Modernize the Selection of Instructional Materials for North Carolina Public Schools, General Assembly of North Carolina enacts.
Gentleman from Wilkes, Representative Elmore, is recognized to debate the bill.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Ever since I've started in the classroom, there have been complaints about textbooks from parents, teachers, and now constituents. Members, parents, and teachers all want to ensure that instructional materials are provided, and they want enough transparency in the process to understand what is being presented to our students. The current statutory process for procurement of textbooks is limiting the school systems in their choices for purchasing, and also is creating a lack of transparency because they are moving funds to various allotments to meet other goals. It is difficult to understand what is being purchased and even if the money is being expended on classroom instructional materials. Unless changes are made, there will be millions of dollars left on the table because it is difficult to spend under the current statute. The goal of this bill is to address a dated system of instructional material purchasing that is not matching current practices. The textbook statutes have not been updated in over 20 years. What the bill does is it defines what is an instructional material, and to kind of clarify that for you, we are talking about the materials that are used in the actual presentation of the instruction, and it expands the definition so it can include laptops, your iPads to create one-on-one devices, the smart boards that present it, also the books, the workbooks, etc. This is not dealing with the consumables. Okay. Also, it creates a system of transparency so the parents and public will understand what instructional materials are being used. This is not breaking it down to like the teacher notes or the worksheets. It's the actual main text of the class itself. I think this bill is empowering for schools, especially our smaller systems, because I think it will open up opportunities for purchasing that they have not had before. I would appreciate your support on this bill.
For what purpose does the lady from Buncombe, Representative Fisher, rise?
To debate the bill.
Lady has the floor to debate the bill.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I heard an uh-oh over there, and I just really, it is not an uh-oh. It is... Just, I felt a need as a former school board member and chairman to remind the body that there is already in place a way to review any of the curriculum, any of the textbooks, any of the materials that are being used to teach our students. It's already in place. I've been hearing from several media coordinators across the state, and I, along with them, believe that this is a solution looking for a problem. We have opened up the process such that parents and students who go to school in the district can come in and review materials. There are even instances where school boards approve having public hearings. Interestingly, when they have the public hearings, often what happens is that you get people coming in to make statements who don't even have children in the system and don't even live in the district. So, again, I really think that we have a good system in place. While I appreciate the sponsors bringing this bill to us, I really think we need to not try to reinvent the wheel and create problems that really are not there. So I would ask you to oppose this bill. Thank you.
For what purpose does the gentleman from Orange, Representative Meyer, rise?
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I'd like to debate the bill.
Gentleman has the floor to debate the bill.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Thank you, ladies and gentlemen. Representative Elmore called me his fencing partner on this bill. And like a good fencing partner, he has a couple good moves in this bill. I was impressed with a couple of the jabs he threw, but I think I have a difference of opinion with the bill sponsor on the impact of this bill. I think that his efforts to give us flexibility on how we use instructional materials dollars to be able to use some digital materials and other things is something that is very admirable and could be done without the rest of the sections of this bill. If I were you, what I would be worried about if you represent a small school district, I would be worried about the financial impact that this bill is going to have on your district. If you represent a large school district, I would be a little bit worried about the way that the appeals process could grind you to a halt on some things. But what I think the overwhelming concern to us should be is the additional cost that this is going to bring to school districts when we stop using a state purchasing contract. In our current state purchasing contract, we have a clause that guarantees us the cheapest price available in the United States for any material. Because that's what you get when you have a purchasing negotiation done with the entire state buying for you off of a list. You can negotiate for the best price possible. This bill shifts us to purchases being done at the local level, and your local district will never be able to have the purchasing power that the state has. Districts will be paying more for purchasing, and they'll be spending more because they're going to have to negotiate those contracts themselves. And so you're going to have more person hours going into the negotiations. It's a bad fiscal bill for the state of North Carolina. It would be great if we could improve the purchasing system and to be able to get what Representative Elmore wants for flexibility, but I just don't think that this is going to work out well for your local districts, and they haven't heard a lot about it yet, so be prepared for a little response from that. But today I don't think the bill is worth passing. Thank you.
For what purpose, gentleman from Wilkes, Representative Elmore, rise?
To debate the bill a second time.
Gentleman has the floor to debate the bill second time.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. To address my fencing partner's concerns, what you have to do is actually look at the practice that is currently taking place. What is happening is transfers out of the textbook allotment into other allotments to be able to have the flexibility in the purchasing. Yes, you might have a coupon, but this was the example I gave or the metaphor in committee. It's a coupon to a shoe store that is about to go out of business where the selection is so limited it's not even worth using the coupon. That is the current state of the textbook allotment system with the textbook warehouse because the options are so limited. Yes, you get a discount, but what in the world do you have to choose from? We have got to modernize this to be able to empower, especially our small systems that maybe have dreamed about having one-on-one devices, the ability of this allotment, it rolls so they can bank their money to where they can collect more money to be able to accomplish these goals with the flexibility. I think this bill is powerful, and I would appreciate your support on it and a yes vote. Thank you, Mr. Speaker.
For what purpose the gentleman from Cumberland, Representative Richardson, rise?
Ask the bill sponsor question.
The gentleman from Wilkes yield to the gentleman from Cumberland.
Yes, sir.
He yields.
Ordinarily, I hear from my local board on bills like this. Are the local boards, have they been apprised of this, and what are their stances on it if they have?
I guess to answer the question, I need to know what you mean by the local boards.
The Cumberland County School Board Association.
I have not talked with Cumberland County School Board Association, but I will tell you that they have $3.9 million in their textbook allotment right now.
Further discussion, further debate? If not, the question for the House is the passage of House Bill 315 on second reading. Those in favor will vote aye. Those opposed will vote no. The clerk will open the vote. Clerk, clock machine, record the vote. 63 having voted in the affirmative, 51 in the negative. House Bill 315 passes second reading and will without objection be read third time.
General Assembly of North Carolina enacts.
Question for the House. Passage of House Bill 315 on third reading. Those in favor? Those opposed, no.
No.
In the opinion of the chair, the ayes have it.
Ayes do have it. House Bill 315, having passed third reading, will be sent to the Senate. House Bill 329, the clerk will read.
Representatives Zoka, Arp, Hannick, and Warren, House Bill 329, a bill to the Entitlement Act to exempt electric vehicles charging stations from regulation as public utilities. General Assembly, North Carolina, next.
Gentleman from Cumberland, Representative Zoka, recognized to debate the bill.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Now, market forces and consumer choice have led to a dramatic increase in the number of electric vehicles on the road, and predictions are that the adoption rate of EVs is increasing faster than we thought just a few short years ago. So the policy issue that this bill is addressing is, what's the best way to provide for sufficient charging stations across the state? And the answer to that is, let the free market work and let businesses install charging stations and charge for the electricity they provide. Until we can do that, there's one minor stumbling block, and that's that currently law does not allow that. What this law does, it provides for the retail resale of electricity, meaning that if you own a restaurant, a hotel, whatever you have, if you want to put a charging station there, this bill would allow you to hook it up to the grid, and you could resell electricity at whatever rate you want to. Currently, the only two exceptions to the law is at marinas, where you can charge boat batteries, and also at recreational vehicle parks, where you can plug in and allow laws you to do this. So it's a third exception to the law, and even though it's only half a page, it is not a simple bill. It took about 6 months to get the wording in this right. There's no known opposition to it, and I won't list all the power companies supported, car manufacturers, tourism bureau, ask for your support.
Further discussion, further debate? If not, the question before the House, passage of House Bill 329 on second reading. Those in favor will vote aye. Those opposed will vote no. The clerk will open the vote. Clerk will lock machine, record the vote. 112 having voted in the affirmative, 1 in the negative. House Bill 329 passed the second reading and will, without objection, be read a third time.
General Assembly of North Carolina, aye.
Question for the House. Passage of House Bill 329 on third reading. Those in favor will say aye.
Aye.
Those opposed, no. The ayes have it. House Bill 329, having passed third reading, will be sent to the Senate. House Bill 330, the clerk will read.
Representatives Zoka, Arp, Humphrey, and Ross, House Bill 330, a bill to be entitled Act to save North Carolina taxpayer dollars by requiring reduction of energy and water consumption in public buildings by 2025. General Assembly, North Carolina, next.
Gentleman from Cumberland, Representative Zoka, to recognize and debate the bill.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. The main purpose of this bill is to save the taxpayers of the state of North Carolina money. This bill builds on earlier legislation from 2003 that, since it has enacted, has saved a net of $609 million in gross energy costs. That's a savings to the taxpayers of the state of $609 million. Today, with the ability to take advantage of much better technology in building and building renovation techniques, the bill updates the goals for energy savings in state-owned buildings. They can save an estimated net amount of $252 million by 2025. Real briefly, what the bill does, Section 1, this was added in committee by Representative Sain, where he built on the experience of when he was a young lad of being told to turn off the lights. And what Section 1 does, it tells state-owned buildings between the hours of midnight and 6 a.m., turn off the lights. And this is great because one of the buildings locally, I'm not going to say which department's in it, but you know which one it is. When we're working late and you come out and you see the lights all lit up, it's just wasting money. So that's Section 1. Section 2 is definitions. Section 3 of the bill increases the state's energy reduction goals from the current level of 30 to 40% based on the baseline back from the early 2000. The state's water reduction goals from the current level of 20% to 30%. And what's important to note here is the State Energy Policy Council, which is chaired by our Lieutenant Governor, in both 2016 and 2018 recommended that these goals be increased. Section 3 makes some updates to the statutory definition of energy conservation measures. Section 4 puts the State Building Office construction in line with the goals in Section 1, and then Section 4B and C sets up a tiered system. So this is not a mandate to look at every single building that the state owns of many thousands. It tiers it, and it only goes into effect when a building is going to undergo a renovation. A good example might be our current Department of Administration, that building right across the street. There's been talk of doing that, of redoing it. And if you've ever been in it, I would vote for that. It needs to be redone. So in 4B, it talks about buildings that are more than 20,000 square feet and have been in use for more than 10 years. And that tier includes 1,334 buildings. So as those buildings come up, they're looked at. If you can make energy improvements that will save money, I see Representative Floyd, then it would do that. The second tier is for buildings of 10,000 square foot or more, 10,000, 20,000 square foot, and that's another 2,100 buildings. So this is not a mandate to spend money. It's basically a mandate to save money, and I ask for your support.
For what purpose does the gentleman from Wake, Representative Jackson, rise?
Speak on the bill.
The gentleman has the floor to debate the bill.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Ladies and gentlemen, when I heard this bill in committee the other day, I was really interested when Representative Zoka said something about had saved the taxpayers millions of dollars. And so I wanted to find out a bit about this, because it had a 20% reduction by 2010 and a 30% reduction by 2015, which I understand we met both of those goals. So I went back and I pulled the bill from 2007, and I thought that those members should be recognized. I mean, apparently they have saved the state taxpayers over $600 million since 2007. Representative Carney and Representative Harrison were the primary sponsors of that bill. Representative Fisher, Farmer Brotherfield, Representative Insko, Representative Martin, Representative Pierce, and Representative Ray were all sponsors of that bill. This bill is the same kind of thing that the governor's looked at doing last year with his executive order, where he ordered reduced energy consumption per square foot in state-owned buildings by at least 40% from fiscal year 2002-2003 levels. I think it was a great idea in 2007. It's still a great idea. I'm glad we're doing this, and I hope we'll keep it going forward, and I'd encourage your vote.
For what purpose does the gentleman from Gaston, Representative Torbett, rise?
Question of the bill sponsor, Mr. Speaker.
Does the gentleman from Cumberland yield to the gentleman from Gaston?
I do.
He yields.
Thank you. Thank you, Representative. Is this only for state facilities and structures, or is it across the board on structures?
Only state-owned facilities and
structures. Thank you, Mr. Speaker.
For what purpose does the gentleman from Durham, Representative Hawkins, rise?
Speak to the bill.
The gentleman has the floor to debate the bill.
I just stand in support of the bill with Representative Zoka, and to thank the former bill sponsors in 2007. At the time of this bill, I came to Pricey Harrison with a crazy idea about a cool schools initiative. I was an earth and environmental science teacher in Durham Public Schools, and my students were wondering how we could reduce energy cost and make energy schools more efficient. And they asked the principal how much we spent every month on utilities. And they were spending $20,000 to $25,000 a month to heat and cool and turn the lights on and off in those buildings. And so we wanted, in my attempt as a teacher, to bring this to life, contacted Representative Harrison, who was absolutely incredible and accepting of the idea, broadened it quite a bit. But I'm really proud to see this actually move in committee, and to see Representative Zoka expand it to statewide buildings. And so this is a right move for North Carolina. Thank you.
Further discussion, further debate? If not, the question for the House, passage of House Bill 330 on second reading. Those in favor will vote aye. Those opposed will vote no. The clerk will open the vote. Representative Kidwell, would the gentleman wish to record? Clerk will machine record the vote. 111 having voted in the affirmative, 2 in the negative. House Bill 330 passes second reading. Will without objection be read a third time?
General Assembly of North Carolina next.
Question for the House. Passage of House Bill 330 on third reading. Those in favor will say aye.
Aye.
Those opposed, no. The ayes have it. House Bill 330 having passed third reading will be sent to the Senate. House Bill 331, the clerk will read.
Representative Zoka and ARP, House Bill 331, a bill to be entitled an act to provide small hydroelectric power facilities a certain treatment similar to that given to small power producers that produce energy from swine and poultry waste. General Assembly of North Carolina.
The gentleman has the floor to debate the bill.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. This last one, then I'll sit down and shut up. The small hydro amends, if you were here last session, there was a House Bill 589 which was passed, which substantially changed the way that renewable energy was brought into the grid. The one part of that that was left off was for our small hydro facilities, and there are 31 of them across the state, primarily in the western part of the state, with a capacity the smallest, the Sharp Falls Dam in Ashe County of 175 kilowatts to the largest at Jordan Lake in Chatham County of 4 megawatts. So what this does, it treats these small hydro facilities the same way that swine and poultry waste energy facilities are treated, which is what they asked for. And what it does, it allows them to stay in business. I would ask for your support. Thank you.
Further discussion, further debate? If not, the question for the House, passage of House Bill 331 on second reading. Those in favor will vote aye. Those opposed will vote no. The clerk will open the vote. Clerk will lock machine record the vote. 114 having voted in the affirmative, none in the negative. House Bill 331 passes second reading and will without objection be read a third time.
General Assembly will not claim any acts.
Question for the House, passage of House Bill 331 on third reading. Those in favor will say aye. Those opposed, no. The ayes have it. House Bill 331 having passed third reading, bill will be ordered sent to the Senate. House Bill 370, clerk will read.
Representatives Dwayne Hall, Jones, Sane, and Kendall Smith. House Bill 370, a bill to be entitled an act to require local law enforcement to hold prisoners subject to United States Department of Homeland Security detainers and create private rights of action against local jurisdictions that do not comply with the state laws related to immigration and other encouraging community outreach programs. General Assembly, no kind of acts.
The chair believes there are two amendments proposed by the bill sponsors that the bill sponsor is doing. So we're going to take up those two amendments before we get into debate on the bill. Representative Hall is recognized to send forth Amendment ABQ 6V2. The clerk will read.
Representative Destin Hall moves to amend the bill on page 2, lines 6 through 7 by rewriting the line to read.
The gentleman has the floor to debate the amendment.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Members, this amendment is largely technical. It just deals with the entity to which the reporting requirement will apply. It sends it, instead of the Governor's Crime Commission, it sends it to the Joint Legislative Oversight Committee on Justice and Public Safety. I ask for your support.
Further discussion, further debate on the amendment? If not, the question for the House. The adoption of Amendment A1 sent forward by Representative Hall. Those in favor will vote aye. Those opposed will vote no. The clerk will open the vote. Clerk will lock the machine, record the vote. 65 having voted in the affirmative, 48 in the negative. The amendment is adopted. Gentleman from Pender, Representative Smith is recognized, sent forth his amendment. Clerk will read.
Representative Carson Smith moves to amend the bill on page 2, lines 17 through 19 by rewriting the line to read.
Gentleman has the floor to debate the amendment.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. My amendment, as he said, will remove two lines on page 2. They're identical sentences. It will replace it. My amendment will replace it with the same sentence in both places. It deals with the entering of the jail. Not many folks can walk up the county sheriff and tell him or her that to let them into the jail, and the jail inspector will. That's the way we've got it set up. But this amendment will keep it that way, keeping a federal law enforcement officer from being able to demand to the sheriff entry into the county jail. Changing the sentences in the bill, I do not believe, will affect the bill. It will still keep the bill in its intended purpose, which will be to allow the federal law enforcement officials to be able to access information about the inmate and to be able to communicate with the inmate for the purpose of fulfilling their duty, which is to enforce the immigration laws of this country. There may be a little debate on the bill itself, but I ask members to support this amendment.
Further discussion, further debate on the amendment? If not, the question for the House is the adoption of Amendment A2 sent forward by Representative Smith. Those in favor will vote aye. Those opposed will vote no. The clerk will open the vote. The clerk will lock the machine and record the vote. 64 having voted in the affirmative, 49 the negative. The amendment is adopted. Now on the bill, the gentleman from Caldwell, Representative Hall, is recognized to debate the bill.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Members, I want to start with an example that took place in North Carolina in Mecklenburg County in late 2018 and early of January 2019, because it gives you a clear idea and a clear example of why this measure has become necessary in our state. In December of 2018, an illegal immigrant was arrested for committing a felony crime in Mecklenburg County. The crime was breaking and entering a motor vehicle, felony crime, but relatively insignificant felony crime, the way felony crimes go. That individual at the time had already been ordered to be deported by a federal immigration judge. Some ICE detainers actually contain orders of removal from federal immigration judges. So a judge had already ordered that this person be removed. They were in the jail, again under a felony charge, in Mecklenburg County in December of 2018. ICE lodged their detainer request. They wanted to take custody of this individual when he was released from state custody. That detainer was not honored. ICE tried. The sheriff of Mecklenburg County refused to comply with that. So that individual was released. He met bail. And then a week later, in Mecklenburg County, that same individual was again charged with another felony. This time he was charged with robbery with a dangerous weapon in Mecklenburg County, taken to the jail. And you might think, well, okay, now we're going to let the feds enforce their immigration law. We're going to enforce this judge's order through the ICE detainer. You'd be wrong. Because as of about 3 weeks ago, the last time that I heard from ICE, they still had no idea where that individual is. Don't know if he's in the jail. Don't know if he's out in the street somewhere in Mecklenburg County, whether he's in my county or your county, or whether he's left the state. We simply don't know. That's not the way law enforcement is supposed to work in this country. And that's why this bill has become necessary. Now, I want you to know, it's not just that one example why we need this bill. There are many, many examples, similar examples in Mecklenburg County, in Wake County, and in other cases. ICE has sent me many of these examples. I've sent it to every member who has requested me to give those examples to them. I've sent it to anybody in the media who's asked for those examples, because they show what's happening here. And what's happening is certain sheriffs, sanctuary sheriffs in certain counties, are deciding to release individuals charged with serious crimes when they don't have to. You can't dispute that. That's the reality. There's no getting away from it. Now, what this bill would do is put a stop to it, because there are a small number of sheriffs in some of our state's largest counties who have decided that they are no longer going to cooperate with federal immigration authorities, and in many cases, no longer even effectively communicate with federal immigration authorities. That's got to stop, because these sanctuary sheriffs are simply putting partisan politics ahead of public safety. Now, before I get into what the bill actually does, I want to make sure everybody is clear in that this bill only applies to illegal immigrants who have been charged with crimes. Again, charged with crimes, just like you and I could be charged with a crime in North Carolina. The bill would simply require that any time a sheriff or other law enforcement officer books an individual into their jail, again, for committing a crime, they will contact federal immigration authorities, and if a detainer is lodged, they'll comply with that detainer. Simple as that. We're not asking them to enforce federal immigration law. We're not asking them to go out into the field and look for individuals based on violations of federal immigration law. That would be a 287G issue, which this has nothing at all to do with. We're simply asking them to cooperate, communicate with their fellow law enforcement officers. That's what nearly every sheriff in this state has been doing for many, many years. Detainers predate the existence of ICE. They used to just be detainers. Most sheriffs in our state are already doing what this bill requires, and they're doing it voluntarily. And that's because they know that their duty is to do everything they possibly can to protect their communities. And one of the tools that they have had for many years and continue to have is the ICE detainer. And failing to use that, however you slice the pie, is putting the public safety at risk. Now, the other thing that's very important to understand in this entire debate is that no matter what we do today, no matter whether this bill ever becomes law, no matter if every sheriff in our state decided to become sanctuary sheriffs and decided to stop helping the feds with immigration law, the federal immigration authorities have a duty to defend, uphold federal immigration law. We're a nation of laws. We have immigration laws on the books. Now, I know some in here may disagree with those laws, but they're there. And ICE and other groups are going to enforce those laws no matter what sheriffs here do. Now, up until now, in many of these counties, the way that ICE has enforced federal immigration law is by simply going into jails when folks have been charged with crimes, and not by going out into the neighborhood or into the workplace, into the factory or on the farm. No, they have been going into jails, a controlled environment, where we know there's not weapons, we know there's not going to be a big confrontation, we know law enforcement's going to be safe, the detainee will be kept safe. So what's really happening when these sanctuary sheriffs decide?
Mr. Speaker, what purpose does the gentleman from Guilford Representative Quick arise?
Point of order, please.
The general may state his point of order.
General Statute 162 refers to the office of sheriff as office of sheriff or the highest elected law enforcement official in the county. I don't see anything in the statute that refers to them as sanctuary sheriffs, and I would ask that that be referred to if you're talking about those elected officials.
The chair thanks the gentleman for his point. In the opinion of the chair, the gentleman from Caldwell is using hyperbole to make his argument. However, the chair would ask all members to observe decorum and to be reminded that the House rules do require that disparaging one's person is not allowed. But the gentleman from Caldwell has the floor and may continue his debate.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. The effect of these policies is not somehow keeping families together or not enforcing immigration law. The effect is, instead of going into those jails, ICE now is left with their only other option, and that's conducting enforcement operations in the community. I've spoken to the folks at ICE, and they've essentially told me that they are spread so thin, and I think everybody understands that we have an immigration problem in this country, but they are spread so thin that they have to focus on the jails. And if sheriffs will comply with that, then they're not out in the community. But the result, again, of not cooperating with federal officials, again, regarding ICE detainers, is that ICE is going to go out into your community, perhaps my community, and they're going to conduct enforcement operations that way. So what does this bill do? It just simply requires sheriffs to cooperate with federal immigration authorities. It requires them to comply with ICE detainers, and if they refuse to do that, it creates a private cause of action whereby a citizen in that given jurisdiction is allowed to file suit, get an injunction. And if the policy, if the sanctuary policies continue in that county, they can be fined up to $25,500 per day. I hope you'll support this bill. At the end of the day, this is what all, nearly all sheriffs in our state have been doing for many years. Thank you.
What purpose does the gentleman from Wake, Representative Jackson, arise?
Speak on the bill.
The gentleman has the floor. May debate the bill.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Thank you, ladies and gentlemen. I'll just go ahead and tell you, we've been here a long time this afternoon, and I'm going to be probably 10 to 15 minutes, so now's your bathroom break. Dr. Murphy knows what I'm talking about. So, thank you, Mr. Speaker. Let's start at the beginning. Sheriffs of all counties already have to notify ICE when someone is charged with a felony or driving while impaired offenses. That is current statute and current law. This bill changes the word felony in the statute to criminal offense. So in essence, what we're talking about is a change of law for misdemeanors. People who are charged with offenses like trespass are most likely the most common one, no operator's license. The criminal defendants with felonies are already getting reported to ICE. I have gotten more emails about herd chairs and raw milk than I have gotten in support of this bill. It's not about public safety. It's about gotcha politics, in my opinion. That's why we call certain sheriffs by different names. In the Rules Committee, they were referred to as super minorities of sheriffs. It's gotcha politics about online petitions and social media campaigns that have been going on for some time by one caucus of this House. And it has nothing to do with public safety, in my opinion. When it comes to public safety, who should the people of North Carolina trust? Those of us in this room or their local law enforcement? Right now in North Carolina, there are 100 elected sheriffs, all constitutional officers, all elected by the voters, some in larger counties by hundreds of thousands of votes, all following the law. They know their communities. They know the people who come to their jails. They know what federal law requires, and they make the best decisions they can in circumstances that can be difficult. The North Carolina Sheriff's Association is against this bill. They oppose it with high priority. The association pleaded for more than a week, for more time to work on this bill. We are weeks away from crossover, after all. Individual sheriffs came to committee with hundreds of years of law enforcement experience opposing the bill. They are all following the law. They are working with all the different groups of people in their communities right now. They know a lot more about how to do this right than you or I ever will. The North Carolina Victims Association Network opposes this bill, particularly because of the risk to domestic violence victims. They fear less reporting of crimes, less cooperation for investigations, and less prevention of crimes. Advocates for our immigrant communities oppose this bill. We are all safer, better able to go to work and raise families when we can work with local law enforcement and when our political leaders do not divide us from each other. The Fourth Amendment of our shared constitution says the right of the people to be secure in their persons, houses, papers, and effects against unreasonable searches and seizures shall not be violated, and no warrant shall issue but upon probable cause, supported by oath or affirmation, and particularly describing the place to be searched and the persons or things to be seized. That's important because of what a detainer is. It is not a criminal warrant. It is not typically reviewed by a judge. Over a four-year period, 834 ICE detainers were wrongly given out against American citizens, and 28,489 people were wrongfully issued detainers against lawful permanent residents. So over 29,000 people in a four-year period were illegally held in custody against their will without a warrant. And that was in 2008 to 2012 when ICE detainers involved a whole lot more safeguards and restrictions than they do now since the change of administrations in 2017. Again, no judge's signature is required. Nothing but someone at ICE saying, yes, we want to remove this person. Nothing more is required. No findings of dangers. None of the prior factors that arguably were required for public safety. There was a little bit of confusion in rules because detainers used to require different boxes to be checked. For instance, that the person had a prior felony conviction or had been charged with a felony offense. They had been convicted of illegal entry pursuant to United States Code. They had three or more misdemeanor convictions. They had a prior misdemeanor conviction or charged with an offense that involved violence, threats, or assaults. sexual abuse or exploitation, driving under the influence of alcohol or other drugs, unlawful flight from the scene of an accident, unlawful possession of the use of a firearm or other deadly weapon, distribution or trafficking controlled substances, or other significant threats to public safety. That they had illegally reentered the country after a previous removal, or they had been found by an immigration officer or an immigration judge to have knowingly committed immigration fraud, or otherwise provided a significant risk to national security. That's what used to be required on detainers. Now, you can look at the detainer form. It's on the ICE website. It's Form I-247A. It was updated in March of 2017. Now that all is required for ICE detainer is that ICE wants to deport somebody for being removable. There's law-abiding or otherwise. There are none of those other preconditions anywhere otherwise required. And the federal government admits that these detainers are optional and that local law enforcement officers have a choice whether to honor them. That is why current law allows a sheriff to use their professional judgment and local knowledge in handling these non-felony situations. This bill imposes a one-size-fits-all mandate on local law enforcement that will make our communities less safe. And when ICE makes a mistake, which they will do, local taxpayers will foot the bill. Local taxpayers will pay for higher jail costs, the lawsuits for the wrongfully detained, and the lawsuits authorized in this bill. We in this body are calling the shots, but we are, of course, refusing to foot the bill. Just last night, I looked up, and here's a list of the judgments or settlements I could find for illegal detentions by ICE in the last few years. $350,000, $25,000, $15,000, $255,000, $30,750 in damages and $50,000 in attorney's fees, $49,000, $23,000, $190,000, $15,000, $25,000, $25,000 in an agreement to stop holding people on detainers, $95,000 and $25,000, $30,100 in damages and $97,000 in attorney's fees, $30,000, $75,000. Maybe that's why our entire country, only about 70 law enforcement agencies in the entire country voluntarily participate in the 287G program. Only about 4 counties in North Carolina now do that. The bill before us is bad policy. If it becomes law, our communities will be less safe, period, end of sentence. And because it makes us less safe, it jeopardizes things that we all care about, affordable health care, better schools, and creating opportunities for better jobs and paychecks. My caucus plans to vote no on this bill and get back to work on these issues. I hope you will join us. When you're ready to work on real problems and solutions, we're here to work with you. Thank you, Mr. Speaker.
What purpose does the lady from Guilford, Representative Harrison, arise?
To debate the bill.
The lady has the floor, may debate the bill.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker, and ladies and gentlemen of the House. I will not take 10 minutes, but I do rise in strong opposition to this bill. The bill sponsor talked about sheriffs putting public safety at risk by not cooperating with ICE, and I would submit that this bill puts public safety at risk. I think that we're going to have communities that are going to be more fearful of working with local law enforcement. Immigrants and community members are going to be, and living in mixed status, are going to be worried about reporting crimes that have been committed against them. So you've got victims of crimes who are not going to be able to get the support they need, and I submit that this is going to create a public safety hazard. I think it's because of this. We have dozens of groups that are opposed to this bill. Representative Jackson mentioned a few, the Domestic Violence Coalition and the strong collection of immigrant advocates. But we've got the ACLU, the Justice Center, NC Child, the Coalition Against Sexual Assault, the Victims Assistance Network, the NAACP, the Charlotte Center for Legal Advocacy. The list is quite long, and I won't bore you with going through this. But we had a good debate on this in Judiciary, and unfortunately, given the time constraints, we were only able to hear from a few of the opponents of the bill. But I thought the NC Child's comments were fairly compelling. They are very concerned about the negative health and psychological impact increased ICE presence in communities will have on children. And they point out there's an emerging body of research that points to short and long-term consequences of immigrant enforcement on the health and psychological well-being of children and immigrant families.
traumatic events in childhood are called ACEs, or adverse childhood experiences, and they have a significant impact on a child's health, quality of life, economic security, and education, and may even lead to developing diseases, including obesity, hypertension, and cardiovascular disease, and not to mention what happens to a child when its parents are deported due to an ICE raid. Our sheriff in Guilford County, I spoke at the Rules Committee, very offended by the use of the sanctuary sheriff, by the way. He was duly elected by our county, overwhelmingly elected by our county, to refrain from participating in this cooperation with ICE, as were several other sheriffs across the state. I don't know if other members want to speak to that, but I think that this is a bad bill. Representative Jackson articulated that well. Others are going to articulate it well. I hope you will vote no. Thank you.
For what purpose does the lady from Durham, Representative Morey, arise?
Thank you. To debate the bill.
The lady has the floor. May debate the bill.
Thank you. I would like to say why this bill is not needed. We heard an example of someone picked up and charged with a felony, and then ICE would not release, and then they committed another crime. Presiding in a jail, you see everything that comes in. And I'll always remember one case of a 35-year-old Hispanic lady who came in overnight. Her tire had blown out. Officers stopped to help her. They asked for a license. She didn't have one. She had no identification. So she was brought to the jail on an unsafe movement and a no operator's license. There was a detainer put on her, even though the judge gave her the weekend time served, detainer put on her, and she was taken away by ICE. She had no criminal record. She had been here for 20 years. And in the car was her 14-year-old daughter on her birthday. She has never seen her since. 54% of all the cases held in our jails are in misdemeanors, on minor offenses. And what we're doing here, we are saying, let's ignore federal law that says this is a voluntary participation program, and let's mandate North Carolina law that everyone must comply with a voluntary program. Just today, the Sheriff's Department, Sheriffs of North Carolina, as was previously mentioned, came out and strongly are opposed to this. One paragraph in their letter says House Bill 370 would compel duly elected sheriffs to participate in a voluntary federal program. The North Carolina Sheriffs Association opposes such mandate. The people of each county, as reflected by the decision of their elected sheriff, should retain the ability to decide which lawful method they will use in complying with existing federal and state law. It's a voluntary program, and today we're saying, no, it isn't. In North Carolina, it's mandatory. 100 sheriffs, you better comply. And if you don't, any citizen in your county can file a suit against you, and you can face fines up to $25,000 a day and probably be removed from office. It's not about public safety. It's about deputizing state officials to be federal ICE agents. I urge you to defeat this bill.
What purpose does the gentleman from Wayne, Representative Smith, arise?
To debate the bill.
The gentleman has the floor and may speak on the bill.
This is absolutely not a partisan issue. This is a people issue. And I'll be very brief. The sheriff in my county is a member of the majority party here in this House. He is adamantly opposed to this bill. So there is no partisanship here. He has read the bill, and he is against the bill. So as we sit here today and we go back and forth about forcing sheriffs to do something that they already have the authority to do, I would like for us to keep that in mind.
For For what purpose does the gentleman from Chatham, Representative Reeves, arise?
Thank you, Mr. Speaker, to debate the bill.
The gentleman has the floor and may debate the bill.
There was one part about the bill that I'd just like to discuss and like for us to keep in mind, but I do feel a little compelled after the rules meeting to address the use of the term sanctuary sheriffs. And it may be that it's a term of art, and maybe we don't always understand what we mean when we say things like that, but sanctuary implies a safe place. So when you use that term to describe another group of elected officials, what you're implying is that this person who has been given a charge to make his community safe or her community safe, when you call that person a sanctuary sheriff, then what you're saying is that they're trying to find a safe place for these horrifying criminals that we're describing as we say why we need to support this bill. And, as a person, and all of us in here are elected officials. I'm lucky enough not only to be a politician, but also be a lawyer, so I doubly get all the horrible adjectives that people attach to us in the performance of our jobs. So I would just say, if nothing else, and this isn't debate on the bill, that if we can find it in our hearts that when we're talking about other elected officials who just want to do their jobs, they just want to make their community safe, and they just want to get home to their families, and they hope that by their service as elected officials that they get the opportunity when they walk away to say that I made something better in my community, that we don't decide because we disagree with them on their performance on one issue, not even necessarily on the issue, but the way they perform an issue, that we feel like it's okay for us to be as derogatory and nasty as we can be just because we serve in this office. Because the only guarantee I can give you for every one of the people in this room is one day we're not going to be in this room. One day we're going to be regular Joe out on that street. And I hope that you think at that time that it's not appropriate that because somebody shares a different political affiliation, a different viewpoint, and if your side of the aisle is like my side of the aisle, we got different viewpoints within the caucus. So you don't then resort to name calling, especially when somebody asks you in a respectful way, when they come to our committee meetings, I'd ask you just not to refer to me as that you don't do that. So I know we don't like to preach up here. I know we don't like to say those kind of things, but good gosh, we've got to do better than that, because this is going to be a long year that we're going to be up here. And if we're going to start doing that to officials, I think that makes it tough. And I would say the same thing to somebody on my side of the aisle. If we feel like that's the appropriate way to describe other elected officials who have decided to go into public service, I would appreciate you not doing that, and would say the same. With that being said, I will now further debate the bill. I think we could learn a lot from the Sheriff's Association because they showed an example of bipartisanism. The majority of our sheriffs in this state are Republican sheriffs. And I know this is starting to break down along party lines, so I feel like it's necessary to say that. And they got together to discuss not whether or not they agree with each other about how they were carrying out their mandates, but they got together to discuss what their position should be on the bill. And all they have asked us to do is to stop this train, sit down, and let's figure out why some of the things that we disagree with are happening, and then see if we can come to a result. And it is amazing, on the same day that we pass 184, when we tell everybody to pump the brakes, sit down and figure out why we're having this disagreement, that we then turn around with this bill and say, I don't care why we're having this disagreement, but we're going to shoot this train on down the road, and we're just going to go ahead and tell you this is how we think it should be done. We've got some sheriffs in here, and I think I'm the only person who used to prosecute. When you're in law enforcement, every day is about figuring out how to spread out your resources. That's it. It's not about the worst thing in the world when you're in law enforcement. I know our chiefs of police that are in here, our sheriffs that are in here, all of you have had this experience. A crime victim comes in and tells you, you haven't investigated this, you haven't found out who broke in my house because you don't care. And all of you know it wasn't that you didn't care. It's that at some point in time, your day starts, your day ends, and you've got to figure out how to expend your resources. And so therefore, when something doesn't get done, it's not a lack of desire. It's a decision about what am I going to do about this? And I suspect that when you talk to sheriffs who haven't participated in this program, that some of what they're going to tell you is that they've got to make decisions about resources. Because note, as Representative Jackson has already told you, we already have to do this with felony assault. We're not changing anything on that today. So the dangerous individuals in our communities that are going to get sent to ICE, they're already getting sent there. So we're not changing that. What we're talking about are criminal offenses. And I would tell you, and again, ask the attorneys in your caucus, 71 and a 55 is a criminal offense. Driving with no operator's license is a criminal offense. Driving with expired registration is a criminal offense. And so what the sheriffs are saying is, so you want me to take the resources that I've got that are already limited, you're already not giving me money, and focus on those folk and trying to get something done over there when I could be concentrating on some other things. And that's really what we're doing. That's what we're mandating. Because what we're changing now is we're saying, because the law already says when possible, and now we're changing it to shall. And I'll be candid with you. I know how things are in Lee County, Chatham County, Harnett County to an extent, Durham County. Lord knows, I can't tell you how it might be in Mecklenburg when trying to figure out who I need to go after today and what I need to take care of. And I think it's a little presumptuous on our part to think that we can tell the sheriffs that. So this bill should not be a partisan issue, as Representative Smith said. This bill really ought to be about you sitting back and thinking, if all of these Republican and Democratic sheriffs throughout this state think that it would be a good idea for us to sit back and figure out why we're not doing what you think we should be doing and how we can fix this problem. And all they want to do is sit down and talk with us. That's it. If they think it's okay, then why can't we do that today? And secondly, let me tell you what else we do when we pass this bill today. We've touched on the issue about domestic violence victims. Domestic violence victims, and again, I will harken back to my days as a prosecutor. It's already hard to get white people, black people, brown people, anybody that's a domestic violence victim into that courthouse, into that magistrate's office to take out charges on their abusers. It's one of the most difficult things that you actually do when you're prosecuting. Because you're making a decision at that point to blow up a family situation. You're not taking it out on some stranger. This is domestic violence. And so what we're now going to do is pass a bill that puts a chilling effect on an entire community. And you think about that. And it's not just the domestic violence victim. It's the witness to that crime who wants to come in and be helpful. It's all the people who are affected by it. None of them are going to feel comfortable walking into a sheriff's department now and being able to say, hey, we want to tell you about this crime and we need some help. And it's not going to be just domestic violence victims. These will be victims of assault, victims of robberies, victims of being just things stolen from their homes and things of that sort, because I don't know what anybody's going to say, but I imagine that some of the answer I'm going to get about this bill is, well, it says that the sheriffs don't have to send these people to ICE, which means that it's optional, which means, yes, every time I walk in and I belong to this community, then there's a chance I never walk back home, and all I'm trying to do is to do my best to be law-abiding as I can. So what we're deciding is we're going to take an entire community of people and tell them law enforcement doesn't apply to you anymore. So you're going to have to figure out how to police yourselves. One, morally, I don't think we should do that. Two, walk yourself through the ramifications of an entire community of people feeling like they can't go to law enforcement anymore in order to help themselves. So it's long. I know we're tired. I know this seems like just a bunch of hyperbole and a bunch of discussion, but this is the kind of thing that has really serious ramifications beyond the messages that we send to people. And all this is started over something that was said or done December and January of this past year, 3-4 months ago. And here we come with the big hand of the General Assembly to slap everybody down and say, we know what's best here and you better figure it out. Instead of just sitting down and saying, guys, why are you doing this? What can we do to help make this better? I mean, one of the solutions I heard was just like, why don't we just send some of these ICE detainers through federal magistrates so that we can have an official court order so we don't have to subject our counties to hundreds and thousands of dollars of lawsuits? There are all kinds of options. but we've got to take those options. So I ask you to vote no. Vote no to protect domestic violence victims. Vote no to protect other crime victims. Vote no to give some respect to other elected officials who ran for office just like us and have desired to serve just like us. Vote no out of respect for them. Vote no out of respect for the communities that made the decision to vote for these people. Vote no to say that we believe in the process that we just said that we espoused in H-184. But vote no. And understand, again, when you're dealing with these communities I'm talking about, don't lull yourselves into believing that you've got a singular uniform community. You have citizens that are part of these communities who you are now putting in this same boat, who are now going to have this same chilled effect. So I just ask you to please consider voting no on this bill.
For what purpose does the gentleman from Columbus, Representative Jones, rise?
To debate the bill.
The gentleman has the floor to debate the bill.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Members, this is about criminals. And it's that simple. They do not respect the national borders, so why do we expect them to support and respect the county borders? It is this body's duty and responsibility to ensure that local governments are not endangering the whole state. And that's what you're debating against. And it's damaging. And it's scary. We're not talking about small offenders. We're talking about folks with drug trafficking, sex offenses, assault with deadly weapons, assaulting officers. While my colleague across the aisle has pleaded to vote no on this, I'm going to ask you to vote yes. It's the right thing to do to protect everyone in this state. I heard that Representative Jackson said the caucus decided to vote as a block. I'm going to ask you to think about your district and your citizens and what's right and vote yes to protect the citizens of this state.
Further discussion, further debate? If not, the question before the House is the passage of House Bill 370 on second reading. Those in favor will vote aye. Those opposed will vote no. The clerk will open the vote. Clerk will lock the machine and record the vote. 64 having voted in the affirmative and 50 in the negative. House Bill 370 passes at second reading and will, without objection, be read a third time.
General Assembly of North Carolina next.
For what purpose, gentleman from Hartford? Representative Hunter, rise.
Mr. Chairman, I mean, meant to vote no.
Gentleman, of course, I have voted no on second reading of House Bill 370. I thought he had it right the first time. Gentleman, be recorded. Further discussion, further debate. If not, the question for the House, passage of House Bill 370 on third reading, those in favor will say aye.
Aye.
Those opposed, no.
No.
In the opinion of the chair, the ayes have it. The ayes do have it. House Bill 370, having passed third reading, is ordered engrossed and sent to the Senate. House Bill 376, the clerk will read.
Representative McNeil and Faircloth, House Bill 376, a bill to be entitled an act to provide budgetary and administrative authority in accordance with the powers and the duties of the Criminal Justice Information Network and Governing Board. General Assembly of North Carolina enacts.
Gentleman from Randolph, Representative McNeil, is recognized to debate the bill.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker and body. House Bill 376 seeks to clarify what the duties of the CEGIN board is and the Department of Information Technology. The board is housed under them for administrative purposes, and this bill has been through two committees with positive votes. I appreciate your green vote. Thank you.
Further discussion, further debate? If not, the question for the House is passage of House Bill 376 on second reading. Those in favor will vote aye. Those opposed will vote no. The clerk will open the vote. Representative Hawkins, Representative Dahl, Representative Gallagher, members wish to record. Clerk will light machine record the vote. 112 having voted in the affirmative, none the negative. House Bill 376 passes second reading and without objection. You read a third time.
General Assembly of North Carolina enacts.
Question for the House. Passage of House Bill 376 on third reading. Those in favor will say aye. Those opposed, no. The ayes have it. House Bill 376, having passed its third reading, is ordered sent to the Senate. House Bill 377, the clerk will read.
Representatives Elmore and Kyle Hall, Bell and Conrad, House Bill 377, a bill to be entitled An Act to Replace and Eliminate Certain Tests Administered by Students in Public Schools and to Prohibit High School Graduation Projects as a Condition of Graduation. General Assembly of North Carolina enacts.
Gentleman from Wilkes, Representative Elmore, is recognized to debate the bill.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I did an interview on this particular bill, and the person interviewing me said I have been looking at the General Assembly since 1999, and they've all said that they wanted to reduce testing, but when the rubber met the road, it seems like it rarely happens. This is your opportunity to streamline our standardized testing program in the state of North Carolina. What this bill will do is use a program in grades third through eighth that has been piloted and was dealt with the testing task force through the state board of what is called an NC check-in. Basically, instead of an EOG process where you have a very long test at the end of the year, and in my teaching experience, I always had to deal with small groups. So I've had students before literally start at 8:30 in the morning, have to break for lunch, then come back to the test after lunch, and they're working on the test all the way until time for the bus to take them home, and we have to stop them. At that point, for a student, it's really nothing more than a test of endurance at that point. I don't really think you are pulling any valuable information from their answers at 2 o'clock in the afternoon since they've been testing since 8:30. So these series of tests would be a shorter test that would be given three times during the academic year, and the tests run about 90 minutes, and the results from that would be averaged. Then at the high school level, we would put our energy into the nationally normed test, which currently we use the ACT, and that streamlines an extreme amount of standardized tests at the high school level. It also deals with local assessments. From data we've gotten that the systems have turned in, I won't name the system, but I'll just give you an example here. In one county, a fifth grader is taking over 37 hours a year of local assessments. That's not counting the state piece, just the local piece. And a trend that you see from the data is many times the systems that are struggling the most are the ones that are local assessing the most. So you see a trend of higher testing but lower results. It deals with that issue. And then the last piece deals with the graduation project and an elimination of that because, in my opinion, that is a pure equity issue and is putting kids that are in extreme poverty not on the same level as other kids with the completion of the project. So I would urge your support on this bill, and it is your opportunity to truly reduce testing in the state of North Carolina.
Further discussion, further debate. If not, the question for the House is the passage of House Bill 377 on second reading. All those in favor will vote aye. All those opposed will vote no. The clerk will open the vote. Representative Smith of Wayne County wish to record on this bill. Clerk will light machine record the vote. 110 having voted in the affirmative, 2 in the negative. House Bill 377 passed the second reading. Will without objection be read a third time.
General Assembly of North Carolina enacts.
Question for the House. Passage of House Bill 377 on third reading. Those in favor will say aye. Those opposed, no. The ayes have it. House Bill 377 having passed third reading will be sent to the Senate. And the bill everybody's been waiting for all day. House Bill 412, the clerk will read.
Representative Dixon, House Bill 412, a bill to be entitled An Act to Adopt the North Carolina Poultry Jubilee as the official poultry festival of the state of North Carolina. General Assembly of North Carolina enacts.
Gentleman from Duplin, Representative Dixon, recognized to debate the bill.
Members, currently the state of North Carolina does not have an official poultry festival. We can continue that no longer. This bill would declare the North Carolina Poultry Jubilee held at the town of Rose Hill as the official poultry festival of North Carolina. I would encourage your yes vote.
For what purpose does the gentleman from Gaston, Representative Torbett, rise?
Question the bill sponsor, Mr. Speaker.
The gentleman from Duplin, yield to the gentleman from Gaston.
No.
He does not yield. For what purpose does the gentleman from Harnett, Representative Lewis? Oh. Further discussion, further debate. Not the question for the House. Passage of House Bill 412 on second reading. Those in favor will vote aye. Those opposed will vote no. The clerk will open the vote. Clerk will light machine record the vote. 108 having voted in the affirmative, 3 in the negative. House Bill 412 passes second reading and will, without objection, be read third time.
General Assembly of the North Carolina Act.
Question for the House. Passage of House Bill 412 on third reading. Those in favor will say aye. Those opposed, no. Ayes have it. House Bill 412, having passed third reading, will be sent to the Senate. Members, we've concluded our business, but I would ask the body to give the chair your attention just a few more moments. Tomorrow's session will be at 11 a.m., and there will be votes. We do have the third reading on those on the bills that carried over for tomorrow. The chair is unaware of any other bills to be added to the calendar. If there's some non-controversial bills that came out of committee in the last couple of days, we may look at it. But more than likely, it will probably just be those three annexation bills that need a third reading. Mr. Clerk, Chair directs that the serial referral to House Bill 385, an act to prohibit the dispensing of raw milk and raw milk products, to rules is stricken. The serial referrals to health and rules are added. Therefore, the bill is now pending before the Agriculture Committee. Representative Davis, Stevens recognized to send forth the committee report. The clerk will read.
Representatives Davis and Stevens, Judiciary Committee report, House Bill 380, Aerial Adventure Courses, Sanders Law, favorable committee substitute, unfavorable original bill, and re-refer to insurance.
Original bill, unfavorable calendar, committee substitute, re-refer to the Committee on Insurance. For what purpose does the gentleman from Cumberland, Representative Floyd, rise?
Inquiry to Chair.
Gentleman's recognized.
Mr. Speaker, thank you for sharing with us your vision tomorrow, but I'd like to be, in front of my colleagues, what the next week look like, sir.
Looks like I would expect at this point, again, no votes on Monday or Tuesday. I think we'll be able to, I think you can rely on that. We're going to have committee process, and the chair gets the sense that most members like this schedule of taking the votes on Wednesday. I mean, it can produce some long days, but that's, for the record, that was bipartisan. It does make for some long days, but it on a Wednesday, but it does seem the committees seem to be functioning well, having plenty of time, and members also have time to tend to other matters of their life instead of worrying about recorded votes sometimes, including my good friend Mr. Floyd, who likes to be home in Fayetteville in the evenings, I think, at a reasonable hour. So we're going to continue to do this as long as we can. Just understand those, particularly those who've been here a while, know that as we start getting into the session here in a few more weeks, probably after the spring break, I would expect that you'll see a much more robust schedule where we're having to vote on more days. But for right now, it looks like, at least for next week, Monday and Tuesday, no votes, and we'll take care of business Wednesday, and if we need to, Thursday. So, and I do want to say, as a point of personal privilege, I know some of these bills, particularly some today, were a little more contentious, and I do appreciate those, not necessarily objecting to third, just for the purpose of bringing it back on the next day. I think it makes life a little easier. So, and in that, we've also tried to allow free, open, and range debate as well. So we'll keep moving that way. With that, notices and announcements. Gentleman from Davidson, Representative Potts, what purpose does the gentleman rise?
For an announcement.
The gentleman has the floor for an announcement.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. The House Committee on Appropriations, Health, and Human Services will meet Thursday morning, April 4th at 8:30 at 6:43 in the LOB.
What purpose does the lady from Wilson, Representative Farmer Butterfield, rise?
For an announcement.
The lady has the floor for an announcement.
Colleagues, a joint
Bipartisan Caucus has been reestablished to address the needs of people with intellectual and other developmental disabilities, their families, and their support staff. Public policy areas that will be looked at shall include but not be limited to education, health care, housing, employment, and community inclusion. Chairs of the Leadership Caucus include Senator Joyce Krawczyk, Senator Terry Van Dyne, and on the House side is Representative John Hodister and myself. Thank you.
For what purpose, gentleman from Dublin, Representative Dixon, rise.
For an announcement.
The gentleman has the floor for an announcement.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker, and members, as some of you remember, we have announced that there'll be a farm tour that will take place on Tuesday, May the 7th, that will tour some various agriculture facilities down east. The initial invitation was to the members of the House Ag Committee. We have room for 52 people on the bus. It's filling up pretty quickly, but it does look like that there will be room on the bus for additional people other than the members of the House Ag Committee. As I indicated before, and I think the speaker is going to have no votes in the session that day, at least that's my understanding, and the bus will leave here at about 7 a.m. in the morning. We will attend a couple of poultry farms, turkey, chicken, a couple of hog farms, two feed mills. We'll have a nice lunch. Any of you that are interested in that trip, please contact my L.A., who is organizing the number of people. We will have room for 52. It's filling up fast. I think it'll be a great experience, and I would encourage you to reach out and contact us if you're interested in that trip. Thank you.
I see a few folks leave. I want to make sure members know the community college folks are here. They're having a reception either at the Sheraton or the Marriott. I think there's folks from all around the state, so we should have time for members to get there, so I want to make sure folks knew about it. I think there's one across the street, but that one's a little bit of a hike down the other end of Fayetteville Street, but just want folks to know you probably have folks from your district that are here to attend that. For what purpose does the gentleman from Alamance, Representative Ross, rise?
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. An announcement.
The gentleman has the floor for an announcement.
Members, we have formed the Municipal Caucus. Through the work of this caucus, what we hope to do is foster discussion of legislation that is a top concern for municipalities, both small and large. We hope to strive to keep the caucus members informed on how the proposed bills will affect cities and towns. And the topics that we'll be discussing will include hot topics like broadband and things like that. The leadership for the caucus will be in the House, Representative Adcock, myself. In the Senate, be Senator McKissick and Senator Ted Alexander. Thank you.
For what purpose, gentleman from Craven, Representative Speciale, rise.
For an announcement.
Gentleman has the floor for an announcement.
The House Freedom Caucus will meet Monday at 3 o'clock in 1425. The House Freedom Caucus will meet Monday at 3 o'clock in room 1425.
For what purpose, the gentleman from Durham, Representative Hawkins, rise?
Yes, sir. Mr. Speaker, thank you for the acknowledgement. I am standing for an announcement.
I'm sorry?
Standing for an announcement.
The gentleman has the floor for an announcement.
So I'm standing because, as many of you know, yesterday was Autism Awareness Day. This is Autism Awareness Month, as declared by the Autism Society of North Carolina. We know that 1 in 57 children are diagnosed with autism. I'm a parent of a child with autism, and I want to make sure that we heard the intellectual and developmental disability caucus being formed. We need to think about what we do in this body to support those with intellectual and developmental disabilities, regardless of our partisanship. And so I want to make sure that if you have not, you get a chance to go online and learn more about what autism is so we can raise awareness and we can raise acceptance. And so thank you, Mr. Speaker, for the opportunity to give that announcement.
For what purpose, the gentleman from Forsyth, Representative Montgomery, rise.
For a point of personal privilege.
Gentleman's recognized to speak to a point of personal privilege.
Members, I do apologize that I did not take this point of personal privilege in the month of March, in which we recognize women for their contributions. And I want to take a moment in particular to recognize one of the members of the freshman class, Representative Logan, who happens to be the first African-American woman to join, to become a state trooper, and the first one to retire as a North Carolina state trooper. And I believe that that is something we should recognize in this body and thank her for her service.
My purpose, gentleman from Durham, Representative Hawkins, rise.
Point of personal privilege.
Gentleman's recognized to speak to a point of personal privilege.
Regardless of what happens in this building today, I know that a lot of things boil down on our partisanship. But this morning, I had the opportunity to dedicate a Habitat for Humanity home. Miss Keisha Coley, who lives in my district, had the opportunity to be put on the path of home ownership. She was someone who is 40-60% below AMI, and someone who didn't think that this was in her path and in her future and her family's future. She's a single mom of two kids who lived in a house who had mold, someone who didn't know how they were going to feed their family but works third shift and is willing to put herself forward for the American dream. And so regardless of all the things that we do, we need to ensure that we're thinking about people like her and those in our communities who need us, regardless of partisanship. So I wanted to share that experience and hope that all of you would have a chance to do that in your communities as well. Thank you.
Thank you. Any further notices and announcements? If not, the gentleman from Gaston, Representative Torbett, is recognized for a motion.
Mr. Speaker, I move we now adjourn to reconvene Thursday, April 4th at 11 a.m., subject to the standard stipulations set forth in Rule 15.1.
Representative Torbett moves, seconded by Representative Horn, that the House do now adjourn to reconvene Thursday, April 4th at 11 a.m., subject to the standard stipulation set forth in Rule 15.1. Those in favor will say aye.
Aye.
Those opposed, no. The ayes have it. We stand adjourned.
On motion of the Chair, House Bill 467, an act to establish the North Carolina Propriety School Licensure Act, is withdrawn from the Committee on Education, K-12, and recommitted to the Education Community Colleges Committee. This year, referrals to pensions, finance, and rules still remain. On motion of the Chair, House Bill 311, short title, Greensboro Real Property Conveyances, is withdrawn from the Committee on State and Local Government and recommitted to the Committee on Rules, Counter, and Operations of the House.